much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, boys and girls. Hop on board. There's plenty of room for you. We'll take a little ride, okay? Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
In 1982, Crippen High School was the scene of a series of brutal, savage murders. The homicidal maniac who committed the crimes was never captured. Now, he's about to return.
Hey, it's Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now
our feature presentation.
Our feature presentation.
So excited.
What's this about? What are you excited about?
Green Day.
Yes.
Woo.
Today's the day.
We've been waiting.
Woo!
Giving away those tickets.
Wow!
Yeah.
People probably took the day off so they could come over.
Yeah.
See the show.
All right.
Small space.
All right. Yes.
What the f***?
You got to maybe check the memo on
Big
that.
Man.
Because
little space.
That may not be happening.
Very
as
excited.
Much as it's not happening.
Into
but
what?
We're excited, too, but perhaps for another day, maybe not so much today.
Today at 3, I got the memo. Today at 3.
Yeah, you got to
check the date on
what?
That.
What?
Yeah, you got to check the date. You may have to catch up on some paperwork there a little bit.
I'm not big on paperwork. Maybe I should.
That is true.
Maybe I should glance.
Let's just let it go.
Yeah, good times.
No.
Couldn't have waited a couple extra days before the meltdown, Billy Joe. Come
right?
on.
Right? That was my feeling. What's
couldn't
a
have worked
day,
K-Rock in first, right?
Another. Yeah.
I'm not sure people plan their breakdowns like that.
would have been considerate, though.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday. Yes, Red Bull Sound Space at Green Day will be what Green Day is not happening today. It's going to be postponed. They say they are going to work to reschedule it at some point. So that's good news, at least. At least it's not completely canceled. Just bad
good.
News for everybody who planned to, you know, as Lisa said, who, you know, went out of their way to make sure to be free today. That's
yeah.
all. It's kind of a bummer. But we do have a new event, a new Kevin and Bean breakfast that we're going to announce in a little while.
Right,
and
we'll
start giving away tickets.
And then it's not going to happen.
Why
right?
would I mean, people trust us now?
That's our plan.
I think this one might happen.
Okay.
We can
right.
announce anything now.
Right. Exactly.
Let me start us off with a couple of great flight attendant stories real quick here to get the week going. Both fantastic stories. One comes out of Oregon. Here's a guy who is on a flight and leaves his iPad behind on the plane. Gosh, imagine how sucky that is.
Yeah, that would suck.
Get off the plane and you go, oh man, my iPad, really? Well, fortunately, he had installed the Find My iPad app, which is awesome that you have, and you can get that for your, you know, for your Mac, and I don't know, maybe they do it for PC computers too. I'm not that familiar, but it's a great Apple program I know they offer. And he looked it up, and it found out where it was, and the police went and arrested a 43-year-old Wendy Rennell Dye, who was a flight attendant on his flight.
Really? She stole it?
Well, she claims that somebody brought it up to her and turned it in. Somebody handed it to her. Not that she took it, you know, from the guy or took it out of his seat when he left her behind. She says that another passenger brought it up to her and said, hey, here's an iPad somebody left on the plane, and that her plan was to return it.
Yeah, like lost and found, but she forgot and took it home?
Yeah, why did she take it home, right? She also said she had never used the iPad, planned to turn it over to airline officials, but police did find some of her personal information on it, including her husband's birthday.
Yeah.
So
oh,
that
very
to
nice.
Me, like maybe she was being sincere about turning that over. She worked for Alaska Airlines, by the way, has been suspended. So that's flight attendant one. Flight attendant two, we go to Ralph's hometown of Philadelphia, the international airport there, where a flight attendant tried to take a handgun through security.
Wow.
She says by accident.
A flight attendant?
Yes. Is that the last person you'd expect
yes.
to not know what's in her luggage? Her name is Jacqueline Luby, and if you watch the news video, by the way, she is awfully Luby. I mean, she's well-named. She was carrying a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver in her carry-on, making her way through security in Terminal C when the TSA spotted the weapon. And, you know, basically they put her in a room and they talked to her about it, and she said, oh, I just totally forgot that it was there. Now, how does a flight attendant not know she has a gun?
That is weird.
I can only imagine that she carries it all the time.
Why? But why?
I don't know. That's another good question.
What, is she a drug dealer? What's going on?
Because we know she's not. I mean, she's a flight attendant, so she's never checking her luggage, and she can't take the gun onto the plane.
Right.
So there's no way she packs it when she travels.
No, I mean, like, for road trips.
When she's not flying.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, when she's not flying. But this is when she's flying. So
that
she should have known
crazy.
The difference. We are human and everyone makes mistakes. And I understand that even though she's a seasoned veteran, she needs to be careful. I'm sure it will be a great learning opportunity for her, says one person commenting on the story.
There are also four grenades.
She worked for Republic Airlines. But that is, that's not what you expect from your flight attendant.
No, it's the opposite of what you expect from your flight attendant.
So, well done, flight attendants across America. Nice job.
I said, sir, would you like to order a drink? She pulls out her gun. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new show for a Monday morning. What's going on today?
You tell me.
I don't know.
No, you have to tell us because he was gone last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you walk in like 1 second before we went on?
Well, yeah. And we put up a note like the system has us do. It says, hey, Bean, please sell the show today.
Okay.
I don't know what you want from me.
Let me find it. I didn't was not
Bean's Death Corner on the program today.
We do have a Bean's Death Corner. Yes, we are going to be announcing a brand new breakfast with. We're going to be giving away tickets for that. We also have highlights of the 64th Annual Emmy Awards, which were on your TV last night. If you didn't have 3 hours to spend with it, we'll try to recap that for you in just a few minutes. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel, of course, was the host of the program last night. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Tom Kenny, who's a hilarious actor and voiceover artist. We've had him on before as the voice of SpongeBob. He is now one of the voices on a new show called Brickleberry that I think you're going to like. I think it's your kind of show, people.
Yes.
If you like South Park, if you like Family Guy, Brickleberry is for you. We'll talk to Tom all about that. Produced by Daniel Tosh, too, as he wades into animation. Andrew Siciliano is going to be on the program today. He's going to be recapping the NFL weekend for us. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And apparently, Jesus has a wife. That's the breaking story that you missed last week, Kevin, is apparently Jesus was married.
Has or had?
Well, I mean, depends on whether you believe he's still alive or not. But we'll talk about that as well.
Wow.
So that's a lot of show for a Monday, and it's coming right back. Ralph will have more details on the Billy Joe Armstrong story and everything else going on in the Showbiz Beat with the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next right after this on K-Rock. I know we got a lot of ground to cover here. Ralph has a jam-packed Showbiz Beat. But I just have to ask, because Mondays we always make a football comment here. Are the Arizona Cardinals undefeated?
Yes, they are. 3-0.
Is that what's happening now?
Yeah.
Is the Cardinals are a thing?
I think it's the first time since 1974, I want to say.
Are they going to win the Super Bowl?
Who knows?
A lot of people saying yes.
Who knows at this point?
No one's saying yes.
Oh,
but
no.
All you have to do is keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
and yes, they will win the Super Bowl. If they never lose a game, they will win a Super Bowl. Look, you've already taken Ralph's team out. You've already taken my team out. We're 3 weeks into the season. What the hell?
Going into the season, I thought, this is going to be dismal. I really just thought, this is going to be a bad season.
Defense playing out of their minds, and that
it's
really
key,
makes
right?
all the difference. And Kevin Cobb is a very qualified, steady
yes,
quarterback.
Sure.
I'm familiar with him
very
from
impressive.
Philadelphia. So.
Sure.
They look good.
Well, we'll talk much more about the NFL later on today. First, though, 552, Ralph, I know you have a grip load of information for us. What's going on?
However, the Eagles also did help you by giving you the ball. Every time they were on a scoring drive.
Seattle helped us by dropping them past in the end zone, too.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants...
They want Arizona to do well,
apparently
obviously.
They do.
Yeah. Here, take the ball. Run this one back for a touchdown before the end of the half. Just give you a little momentum going into the second half. We feel better about it. All right. Before I get to showbiz news, I am freaking Santa Claus today. I am your best radio pal right now, because here's what I got coming up. I've got tickets sometime today. I will be giving away tickets for a very special advanced screening of the Tim Burton film Frankenweenie.
Yay!
Which looks awesome. I will be giving away tickets to see a little band called No Doubt.
Yay!
In my Showbiz Beat.
These kids are whores. They don't,
fifth
they don't
row.
Dislike
fifth row
anything.
Tickets for No Doubt.
Fifth
by
row.
Fifth row. That's
all
what
right.
I'll be giving you. And right now, I've got tickets to the advanced screening. No, it's better than that. It's the red carpet. Premiere of a movie called Sinister.
Oh, that looks so good.
Just in time for Halloween, Sinister brought to you by the good people.
That made it.
Okay, I don't see
they're doing good work.
I don't see the producers here. But Ethan Hawke stars as a dad who finds some film footage, in his new family home. And it turns out he discovers why the previous family was murdered there. in that footage. Oh, yeah, and the entity that killed them lives inside the footage. Hi, welcome. Hi, how are you? Bad news. Yeah, this looks terrifying. Yes. Just in time for Christmas. Sinister, if you'd like to go to the red carpet premiere of Sinister, here's what you have to do. Call 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who call will get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Sinister.
All you have to do is look at a picture of this thing, and it takes you over.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It shows up. That's not good. Monday, October the 1st is the date, and then it's in theaters everywhere on October the 12th, in case you don't win. But call right now for Sinister. All right, a lot of stuff to talk about. It is Monday, so we'll kick off taking a look at the weekend's box office as we do. It was a tie for number one. I'm sure by the end of the day they'll sort all the financials. We'll have an actual winner. But as close as they could tell, the debut of End of Watch and the horror movie House at the End of the Street, starring Jennifer Lawrence, both came in with $13 million, making them both number one this weekend. Right behind them was Trouble with the Chair, the new Clint Eastwood movie. I'm sorry, Trouble with the Curve. Trouble
yeah,
with the Curve is the name of it. A little under that, $12.7 million. Brought it in right behind those other two. Finding Nemo 3D and Resident Evil Retribution rounded out the top five. Then Dread 3D.
That's the one I saw.
The new Judge Dredd movie. Check that out.
Yeah, it was great.
Was it good?
It
looks
yes.
good. I like Carl Urban a lot.
It's judgment time.
$6.3 million made it number six. Then The Master, The Possession, Lawless, and Paranorman rolling out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Last night, the 2012 Emmy Awards were handed out. And two series pretty much took all the big ones, but there were some surprises. Here are the recap of your major award winners. A comedy series was Modern Family. No surprise there, and well-deserved, in my opinion.
Very Third funny. Year in a row, is that what I heard?
Yeah.
They've won that? Best yep. comedy? Wow.
Best drama series, here was one of the surprises, but a well-deserved nod to Homeland over there on Showtime for the best drama series.
Love that show.
Best comedy actor, really? Look. Yeah. I love John Cryer.
I do, too.
I'm a big fan
Me too.
Of him personally.
Right.
But come the F on with this.
I was happy for him personally, but then you look at the other people who's in the category with you and go, no way does he win.
It was madness. And I think he was almost embarrassed yeah. as he stood up there and said, no, come on.
Yep.
Really? I mean, he does a fine job, as good as anyone can do with that material on that
Agreed.
Show. But it is just a basic, schlocky, ham-fisted sitcom. And you look
okay,
at
okay, don't panic, people. Something has clearly gone terribly wrong. I'm stunned. Okay, I didn't actually win this. This did not just happen.
I think he was speaking for the audience
yeah.
there, Ralph.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, weird. Weird award. Julie Louis-Dreyfus won for Best Comedy Actress for her role in Veep. Again, I think well-deserved. She's brilliant on that show. It's very, very funny. Best Supporting Comedy Actor, Eric Stone Street as Cam in Modern Family. Best Supporting Actress, Julie Bowen as Claire Dunphy in Modern Family. Love Julie Bowen. I think she does a perfectly
She's great in
admirable
that.
Job on that show. But again, if you look up at some of her competition, I was surprised.
You look at how difficult Amy Poehler's role is and Tina Fey's role is and some of the other women in her category. You're right. It is a surprising win.
Yeah.
And she could use a sandwich.
Julie Bowen does not like to eat.
My God, is she getting thinner by the day.
Yeah, she likes to be thin.
Wow.
Best Drama Actress was Claire Danes for Homeland, and Damian Lewis won for his role as Nicholas Brody in Homeland as well for Best Drama Actor. So Homeland doing very well for itself.
If you don't watch that show, try to catch up on it by Sunday because then season two starts, and it's great.
Doesn't it screw you up when he starts speaking with an English accent?
Yeah.
Oh, every time. British, it spins yeah. my head.
Best Supporting Actress and Actor in a Drama, Maggie Smith for her role in Downton Abbey, and Aaron Paul again. For Breaking Bad, can't complain about those awards. Pretty much, well deserved.
What about our friends at Mad Men going 0-17 on the night?
Yeah, about time. That's an overrated show.
No, it's really not.
it's
an excellent show. I felt bad for John Hamm last night, as much as Damian Lewis deserves it, and it's a new show, so everyone's kind of excited about it. John Hamm has been crushing it.
And he's
year
never won.
After year after year. He's been nominated every year, and he's never taken home an Emmy.
I didn't realize he'd never won.
Never won.
Was
yeah.
it Jimmy that got up and said, he'll be fine? Look at him.
yeah.
Look at him.
He'll he said at the beginning of the show, I'm sorry you didn't win again. That's what he did. Too soon? Yeah. Okay. We talked about a little bit at the outset of the show today. We have to address Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong. He appeared Friday in Vegas at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. Here's the thing. I don't blame him for being angry. He's playing the iHeartRadio Music Festival. Yeah. I would be upset about that, too. They were supposed to be given 45 minutes, I believe, for their set.
Right.
And then they came to him and said, you know what, we're going to give Usher a little bit more time. Can we steal 20 minutes away from you guys?
Wow. That's half. That's crazy.
That is crazy. And
not like cut it short by a song. Half.
Yeah. He was almost at the end of the set when they gave him the 1 minute wrap it up sign. And I think Billy was furious.
You think?
I got the sense he was unhappy, at least, if not furious. And they're saying now that Billy has a bit of a drinking problem. And so the two kind of fed into each other, and we present it with one of the great all-time onstage rants.
I'm going to play a f***ing song. Give me a f***ing break. 1 minute left. 1 minute f***ing left. You're going to give me f***ing 1 minute? There's a, look at that f***ing sign right there. 1 minute. Let me f***ing tell you something. I've been around since f***ing 1988. And you're going to give me 1 f***ing minute? You gotta be kidding me! What the f***? I'm not Justin Bieber, you mother f***. You gotta be joking.
Yeah.
This is a joke.
Yeah.
I got 1 minute. One minute left. Oh, now I got nothing left.
Yeah, you ran out of time with that 1 minute rant.
Let me show you what 1 minute means.
And he took his guitar and
see 1 minute.
Bash it on the stage.
God love you all. We'll be back.
Nope.
And I walked off.
Rock and roll.
Billy has checked himself into a rehab, tried to get a handle on some of his substance issues, and therefore will not be playing today here at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock.
Go iHeartRadio.
We apologize to those folks who won tickets who were going to participate in the show. But they'll be back some other time.
Talking about rescheduling it. So.
Rescheduling, work it all out. I don't have my birthdays with me, so just look it up yourself. You gotta buy yourself a USA Today or whatever. It's everywhere.
You can open up a blog.
You can find those
don't
everywhere.
Don't be lazy.
Next hour, I'll tell you who was born today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Minutes away from announcing our brand new Kevin and Bean Breakfast with... Yeah, you've heard that before, right? No, this is serious. This one's going to happen. We'll tell you who it is, and we'll start giving away tickets this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a band you love that you'll be very excited to see in person. How about that? First up... Let's turn our attention to last night's Emmy Awards, 64th Annual Emmy Awards, hosted by our good friend Jimmy Kimmel, who, by the way, I thought was a fantastic host, as I knew he would be. Had some great lines in the opening monologue.
The television as we know it was invented by a 14-year-old Idaho farm boy named Philo T. Farnsworth, who was plowing a wheat field, this is true, in rows of parallel lines, and it occurred to Philo that an image could also be sliced into rows of parallel lines, and he patented that invention, and now, thanks to Philo T. Farnsworth, we have Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. So, nice job, dumbass. Television is an American institution, and yet one out of every five acting nominees tonight is British, which I don't understand. I guess we're supposed to reward them because their actors went to the Royal Shakespeare Academy and ours were discovered at the mall.
One of the things that I like that Jimmy did is he didn't disappear like so many of the hosts do when they're hosting award shows. He popped up fairly often. He wasn't on the screen all that long, but he generally had something funny to say to keep the thing moving along and did exactly what a host does, which is make you glad you're watching the show. So I thought he did a great job. Seth MacFarlane was also very funny last night after a mix-up with the microphone.
Where was that real or was he kidding?
It was real.
It was.
And by the way, he tweeted something very funny afterwards. He drew a picture of Stewie and said, I had trouble finding the microphone because Family Guy has never seen the stage of the Emmys, which I thought was very funny. Yeah, after that, after he started talking and was not in the right place because he didn't go to the rehearsals, apparently, he did come back with what I thought was a very funny bit.
There have been so many memorable ones.
He's talking about he's introducing the category for best reality show hosts.
Let's see. There's Brian Dunkelman. Right, there's Roger Lodge from Blind Date, and Joey Greco, the guy who was on Cheaters and got stabbed on camera, right? And that's it. That's all I can think of. What a proud lineage our winner will join tonight. Now, for those of you who do not win this category, don't worry. You will have another opportunity when we put the remaining four of you in a house together on an island with six douchebags and force you to team up in a race around the globe to see who can lose the most weight on a runway photo shoot in a tense bake-off with a pregnant 16-year-old. The winner will get signed to a record deal and has a chance to breakdance their way into the heart of Donald Trump Jr.
Somewhere there's a television executive saying, we've got to make that show. That Good. Sounds like a great show.
Run with it.
There were some terrific presenters last night, too. Amy Poehler, who's always great, by the way, who unfortunately did not win for Parks and Rec, was very, very funny. Julie Louis-Dreyfus was very, very funny. I thought John Hamm and Tina Fey, when they're together, and he, of course, is a frequent guest star on her show, 30 Rock, I thought they did a fantastic bit as they made their presentation.
This year's nominees for lead actress in a drama series play a dazzling variety of roles, from a brilliant young ad exec
to an invisible shrimp trucker.
A bipolar CIA officer.
And a shoebrush lady of manure.
What are you doing?
I forgot my glasses, and I can't see the thing.
Okay, you have to do better. Mm-hmm. A feisty patent lawyer.
And another lawyer person. Picture of a house?
No.
The normalese for outside lead actress in a deal are.
that's how they presented, which I thought was very funny. Couple of quick notes. Claire Danes, who, of course, as Ralph told you a few minutes ago, won for Homeland, had one of the oddest shout-outs to a co-star ever in an Emmy speech.
Mandy Patinkin, holla.
That was nice. I thought. Yeah. Our friend Aziz Ansari was very funny. He was capitalizing on a lot of Brits being nominated.
Jane, real quick, just want to say on behalf of myself and all the other British actors here, thank you, Hollywood, for welcoming us. It is bloody amazing to go from doing theater in London to presenting here at the Emmys. It's brilliant, bloody brilliant. Fish and chips, cheers.
Jimmy did something, and I know you liked this as well, Kevin, where he decided he was going to do his own in memoriam.
He was going to
get all the acclaim that usually stars on television don't get until they die.
The Emmys are a time to celebrate, and they're also a time to honor some of the greats who are no longer with us. But I think it's a shame that we wait to do this until after our legends have passed. It's important to celebrate the living, too. So tonight, I'd like you to join me in paying tribute to the life and work of someone all of us, someone every person in this room admires, respects, and loves.
So the lights dim and Jimmy Kimmel's own name and face comes up on the screen as Josh Groban gets behind the piano and starts singing for him.
Baby, you lit up our world like nobody else. The way that you flipped your hair.
Like a montage. Very, very funny as they start showing clips from throughout Jimmy Kimmel's career. I mean, just the fact that I'm looking at a video of The Man Show with Jimmy and Adam Carolla on the Emmys just was funny.
Holding up a beer.
And I thought my favorite bit that Jimmy did you see when he had his own parents escorted out by security?
That was
those
funny.
Were his parents,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were his real parents, yeah.
Those were his real
parents. When they really sent him out, I was like, those have to be stunned
nope.
parents. Oh, my
God. They were
God.
His parents, yeah. I thought this was a great moment.
Before we go any farther, I'd like you to meet my father and mother who are here in the audience, Joan and Jim Kimmel. That's my dad looks like Wolf Blitzer.
And I know. And this was immediately after they had just given out the award for television hosts, and he did not win. He did not win in his category. I think Tom Bergeron or somebody won and beat him.
I know this isn't the case for everyone, but my parents were very supportive. They always told me you can do anything you set your mind to. And so this year I set my mind to winning the Emmy.
Uh-oh.
And guess what, Mom and Dad? I didn't win an Emmy. You told me I could, and now I didn't, and I'm devastated because you lied to me. Just like when you told me it would be cool to bring a briefcase to the first day of junior high school.
Yo, Mrs. Kimmel and Mr. Kimmel, why did you lie to little Jim like that?
That's Tracy Morgan sitting in the row with Jimmy's parents. Now he's joining in as they pile on.
Why would you do me like that?
Why did you tell him to put his mind to it?
It's easy.
No, I don't trust these two, Jim.
I don't either.
I think they're sick.
They are sick people. Security, could we please have my parents removed from the theater?
Thank you. The two of them. You got to go. You told him to put his mind around it.
Yes, take
totally
them away.
Totally unnecessary.
Go ahead and tase them, bro, if you need to.
So that security comes, and they actually escort Jimmy's parents out. And then Tracy Morgan fills his seats with some cousins that have been waiting outside to get into the venue, which I thought was very funny. All in all, a fairly entertaining show. I think, as Ralph mentioned, there were some surprises in that. Homeland was a big, big winner. A lot of people thought either Mad Men or Breaking Bad was going to do it this week. Modern Family continued to sweep. And then the Hatfields and McCoys, apparently, is a show that people watched as
Oh, man, were the miniseries about 90% of that show last night?
It did seem like there were quite a few of them, too, exactly. So congratulations to our friend Jimmy Kimmel, too. Hey, if you're just waking up here on this Monday morning, thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're making your plans to join us this afternoon for the Red Bull Sound Space appearance by Green Day. That's not happening so much as it is not happening. If you missed the news over the weekend.
It's less happening than we thought it would.
Okay.
Right. Our friend Billy Joe Armstrong apparently has either put himself or it has been suggested to him that maybe rehab instead of coming to K-Rock today. So they're going to hopefully reschedule that. However, I am proud to say we are going to be taking over the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Yay!
Breakfast with the Black Keys.
How great is that?
Who's better than the Black Keys?
Super cool.
I love them so much. If you are a Black Keys fan and you want to win the very first pair of tickets for Breakfast with Black Keys, you can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to give you a chance to earn those tickets. Black Keys fans, call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and be sure to tune in on Friday, October the 5th, listening to the Black Keys Breakfast With here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
So, Bean, as you know, I get Harvard Monthly, and I was going through Harvard Monthly, and it mentioned the scholar, Karen L. King, who announced there was the discovery of a papyrus.
Uh-huh.
Am I saying
Kevin
that right?
Kevin just used the word papyrus, everybody.
I read it poorly.
No, that's right. It's
at
a papyrus.
The International Congress of Coptic Studies, which also is one of my specialties.
Well, that's where you plan your vacation around that.
Right.
That every single year, right?
And they're saying that it proves that Jesus had a wife. It quotes Jesus as saying he had a wife.
Yeah, they found a scrap of paper that has been authenticated, I guess, back to the 2nd century. And it's somebody, obviously this is after Jesus was gone, but it's somebody quoting Jesus as saying he had a wife. And that does kind of change a lot of things, the way we think about Jesus and also, you know, traditions in the church today. I mean, the reason that priests aren't married, for instance, is because Jesus wasn't married. I mean, that's what has been thought for all these centuries. So
they must be thrilled with this news.
There are a lot of priests out there that are pulling for this one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We wanted to find out
what's because they
means.
Haven't been married.
We wanted to find out if this is possibly true, so we asked producer Dave, hey, can you fire up the hotline to heaven right to the main man? And I believe Jesus is going to be joining us here in just a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jesus.
Good morning, my children. Oh, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great to hear from you.
Did you hear our description of the piece of paper and the controversy?
The papyrus?
Yes.
Why, yes, I did.
Okay.
It's kind of scary that Jesus is listening to this program sometimes, because this is not a God-appropriate show most of the time.
I don't usually, but I tuned in because we were doing the interview.
Okay, all right.
Well, thank you. Thank you
so
for that.
So far, not impressed.
So I guess we'll just come out and ask. I mean, we're all speculating whether you had a wife or not based on this new evidence that has been discovered, but can you just tell us yes or no? Were you married?
Was I married?
Yes. Yes. Were you married?
Yes.
Okay. You were.
I am currently.
You're still married.
Oh, you are married.
Yes, yes. Barbara and I have been together now for, 2012? 2011 years?
who's Barbara?
That's my wife.
Oh, all right.
And you were just a baby
we
when you married?
About my wife, right?
I thought maybe you'd give us a little background on who Barbara was.
She's my wife.
Okay, all
right.
Right. All right.
How does somebody snag Jesus? I mean, that seems like, I mean,
we were set up on a blind date.
Really?
She was actually blind. And someone came to me and said, "Hey, I heard you're letting blind people see again.
Uh-huh.
Could you take a look at my cousin Barbara?"
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I fixed her up. And they fixed us up,
mm-hmm.
And I cured her.
Okay.
And then we started hanging out.
Right.
We would go roller skating. you know, movies, that kind of stuff.
I bet you're good at roller skating. I bet you're good at everything, Jesus.
I can roller skate on water.
That is good.
That impresses the ladies. Trust me.
It seems like there would be a tremendous amount of pressure being married to you because you're perfect. Are you kind of, I mean, do you kind of pick her apart because she's fallible?
No, I forgive her.
Okay.
Because that's what I do.
Right.
I'm a big forgiver.
Yeah, you are.
It's not easy, though, fellas. You know what I'm talking about. Married life is hard.
Sure.
We got people coming over. She's like, oh, we have a dinner party. Go make some loaves and fishes. And I'm like, you know, it's not a party trick. I'm not a caterer.
Right. Right.
Oh, we're out of wine. Here's a jug of water. Do your thing. No. It's embarrassing. And she makes me, it's like, I'm not a performing seal in front of people.
Yeah.
Have a little compassion.
Like it would kill her to go to the supermarket on her own once in a while, leave you out of it.
Yeah. I mean, they sell wine, they sell fish, they sell bread.
Right.
I don't, look, she's a good lady. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But she's not much in the sack.
Really?
Jesus, literally, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Mary Magdalene spoiled me. But, you know, when you've been with a whore, I'm just saying.
Wow. Yeah, a professional.
Barbara's sweet, don't get me wrong. But I got to get away sometimes being, you know how it is when you're married. You got to get your own time. So sometimes I'll go into the man cave. Uh-huh. I'll pull a boulder in front of it, and I'll just disappear for 3 days.
Okay. You can get away with that, I guess.
Yeah. She always says I'm hanging around. I was like, trust me. I know from hanging around.
Okay? Oh, no.
Oh, look at these palms. Trust me. I'm not hanging around.
Actually,
I'm
on
busy.
That note, Jesus.
I'm working.
No, we understand.
I'm saving souls here. You know what I'm talking about?
No, right. You're a very busy man. We know. We're going to let you get back to it there,
freaking
Jesus.
Barbara. Worst mistake ever made in my life.
Oh, wow. This is sad, actually.
Oh, I wish I was single Jesus again. Those are the good old days.
Just announced moments ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's been a while since we've done our latest Breakfast With. This one is going to be with the band The Black Keys, who have just become one of the biggest bands in the world. And great guys, too. And we'll have them in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock on October the 5th. If you want to be there in person, you can. This is the very first pair of tickets that were given away here on K-Rock at 1-800-520-1067. It's a game we like to call Famous Blacks.
Hey, you jive turkeys. Now it's time for Kevin and Bean's brand new game. Famous Blacks. Can you name the black they're talking about? I don't think so, sucker.
All right, we need to bring back sucker.
Sucker, yeah. I like that too. What are we looking for here, Kevin?
The answer will have black in the name. It's somebody's name, and black will be part of that person's name. It's a celebrity that you should know. We'll ask you a question. You give us a name that includes black, and then you will win. And we'll go into the drawing.
Black Keys, October 5th, Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We'll start with Nikki on line 2 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Nikki. Thanks for calling. You ready to play Famous Blacks?
Yeah, I think I am.
All right, listen up. You're contestant number 1.
This is Harry Potter's uncle, also known as the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, what's his name? His name is...
It includes black.
It's... Sirius Black.
Yes, Sirius Black is
How
right.
How about that?
Nice. I would have put money against her.
Yep. I didn't think she was going to pull that one out either. Congratulations, Nikki. You are in the drawing. Let's try Philip now. Philip is on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Philip, you ready to play?
Hi, Kevin Bean.
Hello.
Good luck. Blacks. Listen up.
This is an American actor, producer, comedian, voice artist, writer, and lead vocalist for the hardest rocking band in the world.
Jack Black
is right. Nicely
done. Well done, my friend. You're in the drawing as well. Joshua is up next on line 4. Hi, Joshua. Good luck. You're playing Famous Blacks, trying to win tickets to the Black Keys.
Hey, morning, everybody.
Morning.
This musician is best known for being the front man of the influential alternative rock band, the Pixies. Sorry, or Pixies. Has black in the name.
We've given you half of the answer.
Black Francis?
Yeah, I think we got to give him that, by the way. I think we got to give him that. I mean,
Frank.
That's kind of, it's Frank Black, known as Black Francis. So, yeah, you're in the drawing as well. We're 3 for 3, everybody.
Nicely done.
How about that? Christian is up next, line 5. Hi, Christian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't be the dumbass who misses one, because so far we're on a roll, okay?
I hope so.
I'll go further, Christian, and say if you miss this, you should off yourself.
Okay.
All right.
Will do.
Here's your question.
Will do.
This 15-year-old American pop singer became a YouTube sensation with her 2011 single, Friday.
What's her name? Rebecca Black?
Yes!
Yes!
Nicely done.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Wow, I didn't think he was going to get that either.
Nick is on line six. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nick, did you ever think when you woke up this morning you'd be playing a game called Famous Blacks?
I did not, but I'm glad I'm on.
All right, good luck.
This American stand-up comedian, known for his angry rants and regular appearances on
The Daily Show.
That would be Lewis Black.
That would be Lewis
Black.
Yeah. Very bad impression.
No, that was good. That was actually good.
How about Jackie? Jackie's on line seven. Jackie, how you feeling? You feeling pretty good?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
Well, let's
see if there are any blacks left that we haven't done yet.
No pressure. Just everyone's gotten it so far.
I know.
This is an American comedian, actor, writer, and director who has starred in several TV comedy series, including The State, Ed, and Reaper.
Michael Ian Black
is right.
Look at that.
Gosh,
done.
Nice.
All right, let's do one more, and it's going to be Brian, line eight. Brian, good luck to you. Everyone is in the drawing for Breakfast with Black Keys, including you if you get this one right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Edward Teach was a notorious English pirate who operated around the West Indies and the eastern coast of the American colonies and is better known by this name.
Blackbeard?
Blackbeard is right.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable!
100%. When does that ever happen?
Never. Breakfast with the Black Keys, October 5th, Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We're giving away the first pair of tickets right now to whom, Lisa?
We are giving away tickets to Jackie.
Jackie. Congratulations, Jackie. You win.
All right.
So far, it's Bean, me, you, and the Black Keys.
Amazing.
Nicely
Amazing.
Done. Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you for playing Kevin and Bean's game, Famous Blacks. You did good, man. Solid.
It's just as good as a Green Day show, right? Glycerine by Push. That's a good substitution. Sorry. Sure. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:53.
Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us coming up on today's program. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and a brand new Beans Death Corner. It's all on the way. Kevin is talking about the Green Day show that was supposed to be here at K-Rock this afternoon, Ralph. Mm-hmm. You're saying it's not really going to be happening today is the plan, right?
Gosh, the way you phrased it, I'm not sure whether that's a yes or a no, but they won't be here. I know that much.
It's going to be less happening than we had hoped.
See, this is the confusion that comes.
But I'm saying we hoped it would happen.
Just not happening.
Less
Boom.
Happening.
No, not that, less happening. Just not happening at
of all.
Never
the places
happening.
Where Green Day could be today. Right, right. One of them is not K-Rock.
Again, you're obfuscating. I think the facts, which are canceled, show canceled, is what we're trying to get out.
Postponed,
the information
I think is
no,
a better.
No, canceled. Oh. No show. You know, watch them play. Music's good.
That does make it clearer.
All right.
How come, Ralph?
Let's go to that story.
Hey, Ralph, let me lead you into this story.
Wow. Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong is in rehab. Checked himself in for substance abuse yesterday after blowing a head gasket on stage Friday at the iHeart Radio Music Festival in Las Vegas. The band was about 25 minutes into their set, which was supposed to be 45 minutes, but they came to them and said, yeah, we're going to take 20 minutes away from you guys and give it to Usher. See, that's what you get for playing the iHeart Radio Festival, first of all, Green Day. Well, Billy Joe got the one-minute warning to wrap up his set, and he lost it.
Lost it in the middle of a song.
Yeah, he stopped the song and said, I'm going to play a new song, and then chaos ensued.
I'm gonna play a f***ing song. This give me a f***ing break. 1 minute left. 1 minute f***ing left. You're gonna give me f***ing 1 minute? There's a look at that f***ing sign right there. 1 minute. Let me f***ing tell you something. I've been around since f***ing 1988. And you're gonna give me 1 minute? You gotta be kidding me! What the? I'm not Justin Bieber, you mother. You gotta be joking. This is a joke. I got 1 minute left. Oh, now I got nothing left. Let me show you what 1 minute means.
Takes his guitar. Starts to smash it against the stage.
1 minute. God love you all. We'll be back.
I got to get that guitar. That it took him like end. 8 times to get it to break.
That was a sturdy guitar.
So he'll be doing that at K-Rock, but not today.
Not doing it here.
Not.
He is now in rehab. The band announced that Billy Joe's been struggling with some substance abuse issues, and so he's checked himself into rehab. He's going to do a little work on himself, get himself right, and no show here at K-Rock this afternoon is what we're saying.
That's such a great band. Such a great band. Can't wait for them to reschedule.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. End of Watch and House at the End of the Street. Any movie with End in it did very well this weekend. They both made $13 million, making them number one at the box office. In a tie, then Trouble with the Curve, the new Clint Eastwood movie, made $12.7 million. Finding Nemo 3D and Resident Evil Retribution, those are the top five films. Then Dread 3D, The Master, The Possession, Lawless, and Paranorman, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Last night were the 2012 Emmy Awards were given out. Modern Family and Homeland pretty much swept the categories they were nominated in. Best Comedy Series for Modern Family. Best Supporting Comedy Actor, Eric Stone Street as Cameron from Modern Family, of course. By the way, while we're talking about Eric Stone Street, a super talented actor, well-deserving of his Emmy. Maybe getting a little too much luck these days. Maybe a little too much coming Eric Stone Street's way.
Why?
The Daily Mail, the UK tabloid, says that Eric Stone Street has a new girlfriend.
Okay.
Another actress goes by the name of Charlize Theron, by the way.
Oh, no. Wow. No.
Good
no.
for him.
No.
No.
Or no.
No.
Look, I think he's a great guy and deserves all the success in the world. But come on!
No!
If I'd known she'd gone for fat funny guys, I would have asked her out years ago.
No!
A Best Supporting Comedy Actress, also from Modern Family, Julie Bowen as Claire Dunphy. Best Comedy Actress, Julie Louis-Dreyfus for her role in Veep. And Best Comedy Actor, John Cryer in 2.5 Men.
How do we say this without...
I think we can say John Cryer is a great guy and a very talented actor, but you're only as good as the material you're working with. And 2.5 Men, although it's a very successful sitcom, is not exactly on par with some of the other comedies on television.
Yeah.
So it's surprising that he would be rewarded over all these other actors who are doing, in my opinion, more challenging work.
Do you think there was a little bit of this guy had a hell of a year with...
I think that must have played into it. This guy kept this franchise chugging along in spite of all of the maelstrom of crap that was going on around him. So good on you, John.
As you mentioned, Ralph, he doesn't have the best material in the world, yet he still manages to perform it admirably.
Yes.
So, and in some ways, it's even harder to do bad material well than it is to do good material well.
He was a pussy.
They don't give awards on degree of difficulty, or at least they should. It's not the Olympics.
Well, Mr. Cryer is going to be joining us later this week, so we can talk to him about it.
We'll say, John, give it back. That's what we'll say, right? You know you don't deserve it. Give it back. We love you. We think you're great, but you know that you don't deserve that award. Give it back. Do the right thing.
I will
thing.
Tell you, when he walked out of the Emmys last night, there's no way he looked Alec Baldwin in the eye. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Drama series went to Homeland. Congratulations to those folks. Howard Gordon, by the way, executive producer and writer on Homeland. Could not be a sweeter, kinder, more gentle,
that's good to hear.
Decent person. I've done a couple panels on Homeland at the Comic-Con. When I do the Showtime panels with Dexter, I often will also moderate the Homeland panels. And I've worked with Howard twice. Listens to the show, by the way. Big fan of the show.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I want to say, if in case he's listening, well, who am I kidding? He's not even sober yet, I'm sure. But big shout-out to everyone involved with Homeland. Well-deserved win for Best Drama Series.
Dexter and Homeland come back Sunday night.
They sure do. Claire Danes and Damian Lewis, both won for actor and actress in Homeland as well. Getting the awards for Best Performances in a Drama. Best Supporting Drama Actress, Maggie Smith, no surprise there, as the Dowager Countess of Grantham.
She's incredible. I know you guys don't watch that show, but
she's
incredible on that program.
And Aaron Paul won again, Best Supporting Actor for Breaking Bad. Again, can't complain about his work in that series, so congratulations to all the winners. This is the best story of the day. Kris Jenner.
Oh, no, now what?
Momager of the Kardashians. Called a Southern California Apple store this weekend and said I am Chris Jenner. Please set aside five Apple iPhones
for me and
my children.
Awesome.
No.
Awesome. Don't you know who I am yet?
She did not.
At this point?
But the employee who answered the phone at the Apple store said, I'm sorry, that is against the rules. We don't do it that way. You have to come down here and people are in line and you can get your phone. She said, don't you know who I am?
Yes!
There it is.
Explained
there
herself. He said, it doesn't really matter. This is the way things work. So she said, I will need to speak to your manager, please.
I love this so much.
The call was transferred to the manager. The manager explained to her the same Apple policy. Everyone ignored her call.
Love it.
She sent her assistant down there to get in the manager's face in person.
She didn't even go herself?
No.
Sent her assistant?
Yes. The assistant said, you absolutely can get your iPhones if you get in the end of this very long line. Security came out and directed the assistant to the end of the line. So no preferential treatment for the Kardashians when it came to getting an iPhone 5 this weekend.
Love it.
That's good news, right? Today's celebrity birthdays, I think, are still on the desk in the other room.
All right.
You're really going to have to bring those in there one of these times. I think,
let me
just do
it
off the top of my head. Kevin Sorbo,
okay.
TV's Hercules, celebrates a birthday today. Gordon Clapp, my old castmate from NYPD Blue. Also celebrating a birthday today.
Ryan Gosling.
No, Nina Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle. That's why I didn't bring them in.
Yeah.
They're hardly memorable.
Not much of a list.
Happy birthday to those people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is crazy, by the way. Not only did we announce Breakfast with the Black Keys this morning on the Kevin Devine Show, we have more tickets to give away for you to join us October 5th to see that band and help us interview them live at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We're also hooking you up all this week on K-Rock with tickets to go see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater in the first five rows. So we'll give you those tickets coming up later on this morning, too, on the Kevin Devine Show on K-Rock.
You guys remember when the Olympics were going on in London and we were making fun of some of the people's names, some of the athletes' names?
Uh-huh.
And one of them was Destiny Hooker. Who plays?
Great name.
Who plays? She may be the best player on the U.S. women's volleyball team.
I couldn't get over the fact that her name was Destiny Hooker. No offense to Miss Hooker, because she is a tremendous athlete, and I'm very proud of her performance at the Olympics. But how could she not be at least a stripper?
Yeah,
right?
Both names.
Destiny with two E's and Hooker. How is she not a stripper? But instead, she's a very bright, attractive woman who's a world-class athlete.
Now she's playing volleyball in Russia. I guess they have some kind of professional league there or something. And she had to leave to go play she's going to be gone for like a year.
Oh,
so
wow.
She and her boyfriend got married.
Okay.
They just did it quickly, sort of under the radar, didn't make a big deal about it. But the big deal, according to TMZ, is that she does not want to take his name. She wants to keep Hooker.
Oh, wow.
How great is that?
I would imagine that if I were a young lady whose last name was Hooker.
Right.
I would count the days from the time I was old enough to know what a hooker was to when I could get married and change that name.
And but his name is not bad. It's Coulter.
Yeah. So no, that's not a good name, actually.
Right. So there's nothing wrong with that, but she's going to be known as Destiny Hooker Coulter.
Well, because we all know her as Destiny Hooker.
You think it's
a professional
pretty choked
thing.
Up about this.
Yeah. Wow, this is really sad.
So you think because she's famous, she has an identity already as Destiny Hooker Olympian, so
yes.
She doesn't want to lose that.
Yeah,
maybe it's different in her situation. I don't know. We started talking about this.
Her name is Hooker.
Yes.
Well, I don't care
how
much.
It's not Schneeberger. It could be way worse. That's,
no,
that's a name in my family, by the way.
Would be a little better, I think.
Really?
Well, just because it doesn't stand out as being something else. That's all.
Okay.
Here's the question, though, that was brought up as a result of this Destiny Hooker story. And we were talking about this off air, but I'm very curious to hear from people listening to our show who have had this experience. Imagine if you were a woman and your husband-to-be had an awful last name.
Right.
A last name that you really didn't like. I guess it would be okay to say no thanks, but wow, what a slap in the face to his family and his background, right?
I don't think people today make an assumption that every woman is going to take every man's name
at
all.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think I would care.
I know that I don't care at all. It absolutely did not matter to me whether my wife, any of my wives, took my name or not. I really don't care at all because they're temporary. They're not going to be around that long anyway. They're going to go back to their original name eventually anyway, right? But I will tell you, though, that if it wasn't a question of, oh, I just have decided to keep my name, but if it was instead a question of, well, I would have taken your name, except it sucks. That's when I can see there might be some problems.
Sure, but in this particular case, her name sucks.
Yes.
And she's unwilling to give it up, which I love. I applaud. She wants to remain a hooker.
I wonder if, by the way, if her last name is going to be Hooker-Coulter, if his last name is also going to be Hooker-Coulter, if it's going to be one of those deals, like didn't Jay Moore take his wife's name or something like that when he got married?
I think so. That happens sometimes, too.
Aren't they the Moore Coxes, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I believe they are, yeah.
Which may be worse than Hooker.
I rented that over the weekend. It's not very entertaining.
But we want to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners right now who have had the name game controversy where you were going to get married and you didn't want to take his name because it was a bad name. I want to hear how it worked out. I want to hear, especially from you ladies, if you caved and decided to take his last name anyway to keep the peace, or if you stood your ground and decided not to take his last name and find out how that worked out for you. I'm always fascinated. I agree. It doesn't matter to me whether a woman takes a name or not, but I think that it would be seem like a slap in the face to somebody who's proud of his name and you don't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, oh, you're willing to marry into this family, but you're not willing to admit it, basically.
By the way, her name, and we probably won't find any of these because most people whose names sort of suck, they look forward to changing it. Mm-hmm. But her name was, you know, by most people's standards, terrible. She must embrace it by now.
She feels like she's overcome
it. She's heard every joke since the time she was 12.
Right.
So right. Right.
She must embrace it. But especially if you have an effed up name and you kept it, that's awesome. Because now you're turning down a perfectly good name for your bad name.
All right. So those are the two things we're looking for. You kept your effed up name instead of taking a better name, or you refused to take the effed up name. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. This should be interesting. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about that awkward conversation you have where you're asked to take your husband's last name and you hate it. What do you do then? Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Cynthia Seacrest writes in, Kevin. Oh. Dear Kevin and Bean, can you blame anyone for not wanting to change their last name to Seacrest? It sounds, I mean, everywhere I go, I get, oh, any relation to Ryan? I cannot wait for the day for American Idol finally to go off the air or Ryan to disappear into oblivion so I can finally stop hearing people yell Seacrest out. That would suck, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I guess I didn't even think about that. Even if it's not just a bad name on its face, if it's a name that's going to cause you confusion, cause you trouble, or lots of questions or comments because it's related to a celebrity or a movie or something like that, I can see how you'd want to stay away from that, too.
Sure, sure.
Let's go to Jill to get us going here on line four. Again, 1-800-520-1067. Jill, you're first up. Thank you for calling. You had one of these name choices to make, right?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
Well, my maiden name is really difficult as well. It's Rutgen, which is German, and nobody can pronounce it.
Okay.
But when I married my husband, whose last name is Hickey, I decided that my name that nobody can pronounce would be better than having a last name Hickey.
That's awesome. So you told him you'd rather go with Rutgen?
How did he take it? Did he understand why you didn't want to be a Hickey?
No, he was very unhappy. It wasn't a good thing.
Oh, that's sad.
Did you fight over it?
Yeah, we fought over it a lot. He was really upset. He didn't understand. He was just like, well, you're married to me and you're my wife. Why don't you want my name? And I'm like, because I don't want people to call me Hickey.
That dude's lame. Sorry.
I know. He had to understand. I mean, he went through that himself.
I'm sorry. Are you still married to him?
No.
Okay, that dude's lame. That guy sucks.
Jill, do you think you made the right choice by not taking it?
Well, eventually I took it after we had our second son and there was some confusion in the hospital over what the last name is on the birth certificate. I decided I should probably change it.
Oh, wow. Then you became a Hickey. That was probably the beginning of the end of that marriage, wasn't it?
Probably so, yes.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
that.
What if
your name was Asshor?
That's another good thought.
That's a great question. Let's go to Jody. Jody is on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Tom Kenny, who is a hilarious actor, is one of the voices in the new Brickleberry series. We'll talk to him coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, Jody, what happened to you?
Hi. Well, similar to the last caller, not that similar because my maiden name was great and simple and easy. Okay. And the husband's name was not so simple and easy, and I didn't really want to take it. And I finally agreed. We were married. I didn't change my name. I finally agreed that I would change it if we had a child. So 10 years later, I became Inchausti, and you guys made fun of me on the air.
Wait, the last name is Inchausti?
Inchausti.
And yeah, we already made fun of you for that?
That's not a name. When I won Coldplay in London tickets, and you made fun of me.
Well, you had it coming. You know you had it coming.
Your last name is Inchausti. What kind of a name is that?
It's Spanish Basque.
You know You know what's weird?
That's interesting.
Did your husband was upset, right?
Well, you know, he didn't. He what would have been happier if I would have taken his name from the get-go, but he's okay now, I guess.
You know what's weird is you would think a guy whose last name was Inchausti or whatever, you would think he would be unhappy with having to spell it and re-spell it to people on the phone, and he would understand and he would not have any issue with you not taking his name.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't
He was pretty good about the whole thing. He did not want to take my name or my stepdad's name, though. Both of them were easy enough that I thought that was the perfect solution.
Are you still with him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's the best then.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Jody. Dear Kevin and Bean, I married my husband a year ago, and I didn't take his name. My last name is London. So easy, so simple. His is Borkovitz. No one can say it. No one can spell it. He thought I was joking about not taking his name for a long time, but it's all fine now. All I can say is my poor kids. Borkovitz. Yeah, that would be that'd be tough to sign on for, right? Let's go to Kaylee, line 6. Hi, Kaylee. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
My maiden name is very simple, which is Miller.
Okay, Miller,
and
good.
I married my husband in 2005, almost 7.5 years ago, and I still have not changed it. And the reason has something to do with the name, which is Zuluaga.
Zuluaga.
That sounds like a spell. Sounds like something a witch would say to cast a spell.
Now, does he understand it? Is he upset?
He's actually not upset. You know, he understands. It wasn't really a decision I made. It just kind of happened that way.
Right.
I just never ended up changing it.
It didn't just happen that way. It skipped my mind. His name is Zuluaga.
You get busy, Kevin.
Yeah.
Exactly. I got busy. Time passed. And I told him maybe on our 10th year anniversary, well, we were thinking of renewing our vows because our first wedding wasn't all that spectacular. So then maybe I'd change it then.
Right.
Zuluaga, though. Wow.
But when it gets to that time, don't.
Well, our poor daughter, she's always last in line. And whenever they call her, she's last.
Because it's not only Z, it's you.
It's Z. Exactly.
Wow.
Great call. Thank you very much. Let's do one more, and this is going to be Adrian. You guys are going to love this. Adrian on line 2, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Close us out, man.
Hello, Adrian.
Yo, Adrian.
Nice.
He's got his radio on.
Hey, Adrian.
Well, we lost him, but his last name is Bieber, and his wife took it.
Oh, she's so sorry.
Why? Bieber. Why?
Hey, there's Adrian.
Now Adrian joins us. Hey, try to keep up, man.
Hey, turn down your radio if it's on. That'll screw you up.
See, this is what we're saying about Biebers. None of them are worth a goddamn.
Not a single one.
Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up, an all-new Bean's Death Corner. Andrew Siciliano talks NFL football. A lot of shows still to come. And keep listening for your tickets to see No Doubt at the Gibson as well. You say the name Tom Kenny, and has he been on all of our favorite animated shows? Kevin, I know you think SpongeBob. I think Powerpuff Girls, but he's been on all of them. And he's in a brand new one called Brickleberry that is debuting tomorrow night on Comedy Central at 10:30. Very excited to welcome our friend Tom Kenny back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, it's been a while. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, really, the reality is you say Tom Kenny and people go, who?
Not me, dude. You know what I say when I hear Tom Kenny? I say Lucha Vavoom.
Oh, awesome.
The Mayan Theater.
Yes, I get around. I host Mexican wrestling shows.
I went down there to the Mayan Theater to see that Mexican wrestling, and Tom Kenny is the announcer, and he is great.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I get around. So, yeah, all kinds of fun stuff happening, amongst them this Brickleberry show that's premiering on Comedy Central.
Yeah, here's my read on you, Tom, is that you refuse to get a real job, so you have like 30 part-time jobs, each of which you work at 15 minutes a week.
You know, that is a very dead-on read. I'm like, I work so many horrible day jobs that I still, you know, I still wake up occasionally, like, screaming, thinking that I have to go
sure.
and put the pins back in the sweaters at the
right.
in the men's department.
How do
people try them on, you know, and they just throw them there, and you go, oh, I guess I got to put the pins back in the shirts.
You've been the king of the cartoon voices for so long. Tell me, what was your big break? What was the first thing that you did that where you you realized, hey, this is the way to go?
Well, you know, funny, because on October 6th, at a theater downtown, we're doing a kind of a retrospective of this show. It was an early Nicktoon called Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, I remember that.
Right? Early 90s, B-52s did the theme song, Rocco's Modern Life. And that was in the early 90s. And
you were an actor already in movies and things like that, and you just went in. What made you decide, hey, I'm going to go in there and try to get a voiceover job?
Well, you know, I had bumbled around in stand-up and, you know, did pretty good, made a living at it, did Conan, did Letterman, all that, and as a stand-up and you know, occasional guest star on camera and doing stuff. And, you know, I liked it and stuff and was doing okay at it, but I always just had this instinct that voiceover would be my dream job. You know, that would be the one that I was best suited for.
Oh,
you know,
best suited for it. Honestly, we all think of voiceover work and we go, hey, you work 10 minutes a day. That's awesome.
Well, I actually, because I'm the whore of Babylon, I work really, you know, I work on like a bunch of, like I'm on like 8 different series at a time because that day job thing you talked about, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
The word no is not in my vocabulary.
Right. go ahead.
You got to figure, you know, you guys probably feel the same way. Well, it's either going to be me doing it or some guy that's not me doing it. So I
sure.
will make sure that it's me that's doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you are incredible at it. I mean, it is, you know, our own Ralph Garman, who works on this show, does a ton of voices. I'm sure you know Ralph. He does a ton of voices on our show. And the next thing you know, he's on, you know, Family Guy and all this other stuff. I mean, it looks easy for those of us sitting at home. But I know that it is a very specialized skill that you guys have that, you know, that's part of the magic is you make it look easy and it's not.
Well, it is kind of a weird specialized skill, you know, like some weird area of carpentry or something. But like Ralph can probably tell you, you know, getting in is the hardest part. You know, it's a pretty small group of, you know, I always say it's like, you know, it's the nerd version of the Navy SEALs. You know, it's hard to get in. You got these special skills that kind of wouldn't really come in very handy anywhere else. But luckily, we live in a society that we're being able to do a bunch of voices is marketable. So,
tell us, for those who haven't seen the trailers and stuff, tell us Brickleberry. What's it about?
Sure, yeah. Brickleberry is a Comedy Central show created by Waco Gwynn and Roger Black that did a fondly remembered MTV live comedy series called Stanker Vision that kind of has a cult following, and produced by Daniel Tosh, who also does a voice in the show, about a... I'm going to use the word ragtag. I'm going to go for
good.
It. A ragtag group of forest rangers at this down at the heels national park called Brickleberry National Park, and it's you know, it's pretty over the top. It's pretty adult, pretty scatological, and it's fun to work on.
Does it have
like
Daniel
that.
Tosh's sense of humor? So if we watch Tosh 2.0, is it kind of in the same keeping?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. It's definitely his audience will definitely see his fingerprints on this. And he also, like I said, does one of the voices in the show. I play Woody, who's sort of this, you know, this sort of Wilford Brimley-looking guy that runs the national park. He's, you know, he has like, you know, battle flashbacks from his time in the military and a mother fixation. And, you know, he's kind of a sad character, you know, a widower. I play a lot of sad, lonely characters.
Yeah, that's like, odd, isn't it?
I wonder why they think of you, Tom, when they think of the sad, lonely losers. I wonder what that's about.
I know. I gotta look into that. You know, the Ice King on Adventure Time is a guy who kidnaps princesses just so they'll hang out with him. And, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I got a wife and kids and stuff. I'm not that horrible.
Don't lie.
This show, by the way, I mentioned Family Guy earlier. This is very much in the Family Guy vein. And if it's possible, it's even ruder than Family Guy is. I mean, in that first episode, man, you've got the most racist stuff I've seen on TV. And that's saying a lot when they carry Tosh, you know, 2.0. But, I mean, you get into lesbians and you get into just crazy stuff with animals. I can't even describe some of the stuff you do in this first episode. I mean,
well,
it is definitely for our people.
We've probably all done crazy stuff with animals if we care to admit it. But, yeah, it's it definitely, I think, you know, those guys felt, and I think they're right, that in the post-South Park, post Family
yes.
Guy world.
Yes.
If you're promising outrageousness, you've got to deliver on that. You know, you can't deliver some toothless kind of,
right.
you know, PG-13 thing because people go, eh, I was expecting, you know, especially, you know, my 18-year-old nephews that worship Daniel Tosh. If this thing came across as, like, fangless or whatever,
right.
they would just go, eh, he wimped out, he sold out. So it's kind of, I got to say, there is kind of, you know, my eyebrows are raised a lot when I'm reading these lines going, really? You guys want me to do it?
Love it.
Is this for real? And they'll go, yeah, yeah. And I'll go, okay.
If we can get it past the censors, if they'll let us put it on TV, we'll do it, right?
Yeah, because I go, okay, you know, this isn't really my sensibility 100%, but, you know, neither is the preschool stuff I do. So, okay.
neither is SpongeBob. Hey,
well, SpongeBob
you
kind of is.
Yeah, well, look, you were in Shakes the Clown. You're not allowed to complain about anything, Tom.
Exactly. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to kind of traffic in all these different worlds. Like I said, you do this kind of PBS Kids preschool stuff, and then you do, you know, SpongeBob, you know, that's mostly a children's show, and Adventure Time that maybe is a little bit older, and then you do the Adult Swim stuff. And then this is kind of like at the pinnacle of, you know, this shreds the envelope. It doesn't just push
totally.
It.
Totally. Love
and
it.
And I got to say, it's kind of like fun to be on something that makes you feel like, oh, man, this is gonna tick off a fair amount of people, what I'm about to say.
Love it. This is why I wanted to make sure that we promoted this show, Tom, because this is our audience. This is the Kevin Abeed audience, man. If you're looking forward to the edge being moved a little bit more on television, you want to be watching Comedy Central tomorrow night for the series premiere at 10:30 of Brickleberry. Again, it's called Brickleberry, and Tom Kenny does the voice of the head ranger. It's very, very funny. Tom,
well,
it's always
you.
Great to have you on the show, man. We really appreciate the time.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. So, yeah, watch tomorrow and be shocked along with me.
We will. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, guys, bye.
An all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up next. Right now, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Let it be Bean. Let it be Bean.
What?
Let it be Bean.
Let it
be
Bean. It's not
me.
Not me.
Prayer,
right?
I'm just saying a prayer,
but
man.
But he's talking right now.
Don't bother, man, while he's praying.
All right, sir.
Why do you hate God?
I don't.
Why are you anti-religion?
If I die in the next 10 minutes, Kevin will take over the Death Corner, and he'll be doing it after the top of the hour.
All right, fair enough. This is a great week to be listening to K-Rock all week long. At 9, at noon, at 3 p.m., at 6 p.m., and 9 p.m., you can win tickets to see a little band that I refer to as No Doubt.
Yay!
Why do you call them that, Ralph?
Well, Gwen asked me to.
Oh, okay.
After our sweet, sweet lovemaking one night.
I don't think that happened.
It did.
No? Didn't.
You're right.
Yeah.
At the Gibson Amphitheater, they are playing. I can't wait. I'm getting my tickets. You can win tickets in the first 5 rows this week. All day long today, if you listen at 9, noon, 3, 6, and 9, you can score tickets in the 5th row to see No Doubt the Gibson Amphitheater, which is already sort of a pseudo-intimate house, considering the kind of places they could fill if they wanted to. Tickets go on sale, by the way, Friday at 4 p.m. Details are at krock.com. But I don't want you to wait, so I'm going to be nice. How about if I give away a pair of tickets right now in the 5th row to see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater?
No.
I'm going to do it. I don't care how many times Nopey says no to me. I don't care if Mitt Romney were to say no to me.
Yeah.
Not the clip I was expecting.
Nope. didn't have it handy. Sorry.
Here's a little trivia question. Since, you know, I like to do the showbiz beat, we talk a lot about movies, this is only appropriate, I think, this trivia question. What is the name of the song that premiered on the soundtrack to the movie Go? It was later featured on No Doubt's album Return of Saturn, but it premiered on the soundtrack of the movie Go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you know the name of the song that premiered in the movie Go, then you can get through the correct answer and you can win. So call now.
Mitt Romney says no.
Too late, Mitt. Too late for you, Mitt.
Timing.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Another lackluster weekend. The top two movies, which were tied for first place, only made about $13 million each. End of Watch and House at the End of the Street were tied to first place. Then Trouble with the Curve, the new Clint Eastwood movie, made a little under $13 million, 12.7, made it number two at the box office. Finding Nemo, number three, and Resident Evil Retribution, rounding out the top five. Dread, The Master, The Possession, Lawless, and Paranorman are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, finally, it's just... We live in a golden age of cinema, people, because last week, Sony announced that they are making a big-budget, big-screen version of the TV series Manimal into a movie.
What was that?
Manimal was Simon McCorkindale, a doctor who spent a lot of time in deepest, darkest Africa, who was imbued with the powers to change into any animal he wanted to fight crime.
Oh.
So he'd be like, hello, good to see you. Rah! And then become like a panther. And then, oh, yes, there's a criminal over there. And he'd become a snake.
Oh, I like it.
Rah! And he'd become a hawk. He was manimal. He was half man, half animal.
Okay.
He was manimal.
I got you.
This series lasted 8 episodes. This is not a joke. It was universally reviled by critics and audiences alike. So naturally, Sony's stepping up to make the big screen big version of Manimal. Well, on the tails of that decision, good news that they are making the big screen version of the TV show Mr. Ed.
Is that the talking horse?
That is, of course, the talking horse, Kevin.
All right.
Legendary sitcom about an architect named Wilbur and his talking horse named Mr. Ed.
Yeah!
So you're going to get
That's
to see
hot.
Mr. Ed on the big screen. We live in a golden age of cinema, people. We have Manimal and Mr. Ed to look forward to. Please enjoy.
Well, all right.
It's a good drop, Dean. Keep that one.
Yes.
Worked that in a lot.
Put that in the keeper file. The Emmys were given out last night. Here's just a recap of some of the big award winners. Best comedy series was Modern Family. Best drama series was Homeland. Homeland really coming out of the gate strong. First season really knocked everyone over.
Suck it, Madman.
Claire Danes won for her performance as a best actress in a drama. Damian Lewis won for his work as the star of that show as well. So congratulations to everybody involved with Homeland. And for comedies, Modern Family was the best comedy. Again, some of their actors scoring big awards, with Best Supporting Actor and Actress going to Eric Stonestreet and Julie Bowen. Best Comedy Actor was John Cryer from 2 1/2 Men. That's right, you heard me. And Best Comedy Actress was Julia Louis-Dreyfus for her work in Veep. Best Supporting Drama Actress was Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey. She's not returning to that series, by the way. She said, F you, Downton Abbey.
Really?
Is that right?
And they gave her an award anyway. And Aaron Paul, for his work in Breaking Bad, he was the Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. It's good stuff. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
Yes, you do.
Line 2, I believe Beatrice is calling in. Beatrice?
Hi, it's new.
Wow. You just volunteered that, man. I didn't even get a chance to ask the question again.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
I don't think I'm going to give it to you now, Beatrice, because you've offended me. How about that? How do you like that?
Let him ask the question.
Here's a little taste for those of you who don't know. Yeah, that's a great tune. That's right. Debuted in Go and then was on Return of Saturn the next year. Congratulations, Beatrice. You're going to sit in the fifth row and see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you details. Thank you for calling in. This is fun. I like giving away stuff to people.
You are Santa.
I am. Today's celebrity birthday is Gordon Clapp from Damages and, of course, NYPD Blue. I actually fought crime alongside Gordo. I did.
You stood there once.
I fought crime.
Was he... You so often refer to your co-stars in NYPD Blue because you were both on the series, but were you actually in a scene with Mr.
Yes.
Clapp?
Yes. One of my favorite scenes I ever played
was
where I, of course, was Officer Gruden, the recurring uniformed policeman on that show. And it was him and Henry. We were in a hallway, and I was supposed to go up a fire escape and break into this apartment because we thought there was somebody dying inside there.
Right.
And so they're standing in the hallway waiting for me to open up the door because I've come in through the fire escape. I've broken through the window.
Nice.
And they're standing there and I open the door and they look down the hallway and I look at them and I've come out the wrong apartment. They were standing in front of the other one. It was a very funny moment.
Here's a clip. I don't think it's that one, but here's a clip of Ralph on him.
Watching Donnie Hertzner?
Yeah. He's in the OR.
Why?
He developed some bleeding. His old lady's around here somewhere. Shelly Hertzner? She's all pissed off because she can't see him. I'll go get her.
Come on.
Where's the Emmy for that?
Come on.
Now that they're making the Mr. Ed movie, where's the Officer Gruden movie? That's what I want to know.
About. That's the only character people want to see less than Mr. Ed is Officer Gruden.
They should have put you at End of Watch, man. Wouldn't have been awesome if you'd have been on the force for that, too?
Kevin Sorbo from Hercules has a birthday today as well. He's 54. Nia Vardalos from A Big Fat Greek Wedding and Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show all this week to win your way in to Breakfast with the Black Keys coming up on October the 5th in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. And by the way, speaking of great bands that we love, what about the Killers being here tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show?
That?
What about Brandon Flowers and the Killers tomorrow right here, right?
Yeah.
Who's with me, right?
All
right.
Of us.
We're
yes.
With you.
What do you want us to say? Yay, us!
We'll talk about the football weekend that was with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up next. But first, how about a brand new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I'm trying to put on a brave face, but it's tough to do Death Corner when one of our own is in the Death Corner. I'm sorry to say we lost Jimmy Kimmel over the weekend. I was watching the Emmys last night, and I saw the In Memoriam where they flashback all the video.
That was just a comedy bit.
He was such a great man. He was young, too. He was only, I think he was only about 40, something like that or so. He was engaged to be married.
He did a tribute to himself.
Late night show.
In Memoriam style, but yeah.
Sad to see him go because I liked Jimmy very, very much. And, of course, remember him fondly from his years here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so he will be missed.
Still alive.
Fortunately, Guillermo has taken over the show, so it's going to be fine on ABC at 11:35. So, moving on to other Death Corner stories. I know you guys heard about this, but I can't stop laughing at Irvin McInnes, a 21-year-old aspiring rapper. He tweeted about driving drunk at and going 120 miles an hour just minutes before dying in a fiery one-car crash. This is what a bonehead this guy is. He tweets about how fast he's going. Listen to this. Drunk and going 120, drifting corners, YOLO. Yeah, you only live once, all right, and it's today. Today is the end of when you only live once.
What is YOLO? What should we say if you only have 10 seconds left after that?
Yeah, exactly, right?
You only live for 10 more seconds.
He had also tweeted earlier that same night, by the way, driving, tweeting, sipping the cup, F, YOLO, I'm turning it up. Around 1:40 a.m., he died in a car crash in Ontario, California, just a week ago at Creekside Drive and Halen Avenue. A 2005 Nissan Sentra ran a red light, lost control, slammed into a wall. The car wound up in the backyard of some guy's home, and three other people were killed in the crash as well.
Oh, man.
No.
That's a bad deal. 120, drifting, drinking, tweeting, the whole deal. Don't do that. Don't do that. Here's another dumbass, Kevin. You'll like this guy. An internet stunt gone terribly wrong. A man in Germany was thrown from a playground merry-go-round that he apparently strapped himself to an internet video stunt. They were making videos, Jackass style, for the video. This guy named Tobias is part of a group called the Bavarian Dumbasses, and they post stunt videos on YouTube and Facebook. What they would do is they would strap him to a merry-go-round, and then they would tie the merry-go-round to a car, and then the car would take off, and it would drive on down the road with the guy on the merry-go-round spinning around behind the car.
There's only one end to that stunt, right?
Yes, and the end is that the tape did not hold, and he spun off of the merry-go-round and was killed when he flew off and hit his head. So
he's a part of a group called Dumbass.
Yeah.
Yes, good he point. Is. Here's a bizarre local story. A Los Angeles area chef on trial for his wife's murder told authorities the reasons they never found the body was because he slow cooked it for 4 days before disposing of the remains. He killed his wife back in October of 2009. They never found the body. He admitted in court, I just slowly cooked it. I ended up cooking her for 4 days. This guy ran a restaurant in Lomita, by the way. So if you've been to David Veen's restaurant, that's not going to make you feel very good, right?
Who's hungry?
No kidding, right? He said he was able to boil most of the body away, and then he just mixed it up with other stuff and then dispersed the garbage throughout. The only thing that he couldn't dispose of was the skull, he said, which he stashed at his mother's house, but authorities have searched the attic and other parts in the house, have not yet found the skull. Everything else is apparently gone. What a crazy story that is.
Life-size crock pot?
Here's an ironic death, I think. A Pakistani protester. You know, all over the world, there's been this death to America thing going on because of that Muslim YouTube movie, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people very, very upset around the world. Some of the extremist Muslims very upset about the way that their prophet Muhammad is represented in this film. So it's death to America, and they're burning the flags. You see this. You can't turn on the news without seeing some guy burning a flag somewhere.
Personally,
in one of these countries.
I can't believe Bean made that video.
How dare you? We all know it was beer mug.
Hey,
well,
one
protester in Lahore, Pakistan, yes, it's called Lahore, died after inhaling the fumes from the American flags that he burned at a protest. According to his fellow protesters, the man complained of feeling unwell from breathing the smoke of the burned American flags and was transported to the hospital where he later died. That is not that's not what you plan when you're doing death to America. Instead, it's death to you, right?
That's not how you want to go either.
And here's a terrible way to go, and I guess I'll close with this. Kevin, maybe you've even heard of this guy. He plays for the Ulster rugby team in Ireland. His name is Nevin Spence. Apparently, he's a big deal. He's only 22 years old, recently named to the Ireland international squad. He, his brother, and his father were all killed, his sister recovering. All four of them fell into what is called a slurry tank. What? Do you know what a slurry tank is?
Yes.
It's what I dry out in every time after I get drunk.
I think so.
These are large tanks on farms that are used to store slurry, which is a combination of cow manure and water. And basically, they store it and turn it into fertilizer, and then they use it to fertilize their crops. Now, they don't have the full report on what happened, but it appears that somehow the family dog ended up in the slurry tank.
Oh.
And maybe one by one, every single member of the family went into the tank, and three of them died.
Oh, my God.
You don't ever want to die in a manure tank, right?
No, on my list, that's way down below, like 20.
Terrible way to go. So this 22-year-old rugby player, professional athlete, and his father and his brother all died in the slurry tank. His sister also fell in, ended up in the hospital, but did survive. Investigation is ongoing.
The dog's okay, though, right?
It doesn't say anything about the dog, but I can't imagine if one after another went in there that the dog was pulled out quickly. So
yeah.
I would say bad news for the dogs as well. And that has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. We just made the announcement earlier this morning that we are doing Breakfast with That Band, Breakfast with Black Keys.
How about that?
Pretty cool. Keep listening for your chance to win.
October 5th, it's going to be the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Yes, we will hook you up in the days to come. I'm glad that I don't bet on football. When I look at this weekend and I see the Patriots losing and I see the Steelers losing and I see the 49ers losing, I think that's why they play the games, is the old expression, because who can ever predict who's going to win these days in this crazy NFL season? Andrew Siciliano joins us from the DirecTV Red Zone on Sunday, and of course NFL Total Access Monday through Thursdays at 4 on the NFL Network. Hey, Andrew, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. How are you, more important?
Great to talk to you. Like I said, another crazy weekend in the NFL. Bill Belichick would not say anything about the referee calling last night, but I think it's time to have a major discussion here, Andrew, about the effect that these replacement refs are having on every weekend's games, so particularly in that Patriots game last night. What the hell's the deal?
They actually did have a major discussion, and if there's any news here, and I don't know if it's overly positive news, but it has been reported both by Peter King last night and by our guys, Albert Breer at the NFL Network, that they did meet, the league and the referees union did meet for a long, long time on Sunday. There's a federal mediator there as well. So they're talking. I don't know how much progress was made. They did not walk out of the room with a deal. Now you could say maybe they were talking so they didn't see anything that actually happened on the field. So that's not going to affect me.
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea. But
look, nobody sees more football than you do, Andrew. What's your take on it? Is it definitely negatively affecting the game? I mean, I think as you pointed out on your Twitter feed yesterday, and how Andrew has the time to tweet while he's doing the Red Zone, I'll never understand. But something's going on when the Raiders play a half without a penalty. Clearly, the referees are not up to snuff.
Well, I was actually praising the Raiders. I mean, Dennis Allen, new head coach, congratulations in your third game. You have finally, you know, steered the ship in the right direction, and they did not commit a penalty. Now, there were certainly penalties in the second half, and there are penalties that are missed. That happens every week. I'll say this. There are up and down trends that don't seem to make much sense. For example, and I'm getting a little overly technical here, but week number one, there were 30 defensive pass interference flags thrown in week number one over 16 games. All right. The average number of DPIs thrown last year over 17 weeks was 14.5. So that was double.
Wow.
Those numbers came back down week two, and the amazing trend last week was home teams went 14-2, which just boggled people's minds. And then this week we've yet to see a look at the numbers to see what the trends are. But I'll tell you, every pass play is turning into hand-to-hand combat. The defensive backs learned week one, and I think they went out there with a purpose. We are going to do our damnedest to break up every pass. We're going to be physical and see what we can get away with. And it's not just the DBs. I think most players say, hey, it's the substitute teacher, and that's not being unfair to those guys. They're substitute teachers.
Right.
Let's see what we can get away with. Mm-hmm. And then that changes and develops every week, and you never know what crew you're going to get and what you can get away with. I think this week, this past week, there were a lot of missed calls or flags that were not thrown on hits that will eventually be fined.
Oh, really?
By the league. And to be fair, we see that with the regular officials, but there were some blatant ones that were not flagged, like Darius Hayward Bay, the Raiders wide receiver, who spent the night in an Oakland hospital, that were not flagged, that were just devastating, bone-crushing hits. One on Tony Romo as well. And hopefully player safety isn't an issue. Look, guys, we complain about the officials all the time, and they had one yesterday, for example, in Tennessee. There was a call in overtime. You could say it did affect something, certainly in overtime, where they marked off what turned out to be a 27-yard penalty because they marked it off from the wrong spot.
Sweet. Wow. What about the Baltimore-New England game where the crowd was chanting BS so loud and so long that it came through on the TV quite clearly?
You ever been to Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that wasn't nice. They had, look, you saw the way the coaches reacted, and it wasn't just Bill Belichick either. Belichick's going to get fined, but Kyle Shanahan, who's the Redskins offensive coordinator, the coach's son, he's probably going to get disciplined as well. There is video of him chasing an official after the game into the tunnel, into the hallway.
All right.
And he wasn't.
Then back to his car, then to his home. High speed chase.
Oh yeah, and I believe there's audio accompaniment as well to that video, and I don't think they were exchanging addresses.
Andrew, if I could just take the other side for a second,
sure.
not to be argumentative, but the Cardinals are 3-0.
Yeah,
so,
yay.
I'm saying let's keep whatever rest we have.
Kevin is the happiest football fan in America right now.
What were the chances of that?
The refs had nothing to do with the fact that the Eagles cannot protect Michael Vick. I mean, wow. We said in the last couple of weeks the Eagles should have lost week one. They're still a good football team. They certainly won week two, and then winning, against Baltimore is an impressive feat. But, Michael Vick got hit, I'm not exaggerating, 10 or 12 times in the first half. That doesn't mean he was sacked 10 or 12 times. It just means that he was running for his life. He'd throw the pass and get drilled.
Yeah.
He will not survive in any way.
He won't survive this season, that's for sure. There's no question about that.
He will not survive, and he rarely does. And the Cardinals, the fact that Kevin Cobb beat the Eagles and beat them so amazingly and thoroughly, I wouldn't have been surprised if, before the game, the Cardinals went up to the Eagles and said, "Hey, we kept the receipt on Kevin Cobb. Do we still have time to return him? We'll take a store credit. We don't need Dominic Rogers Cromartie back, but if you could just give us some kind of credit, maybe we can exchange it for something nice."
Yeah.
And he went out and whipped them.
Yeah. Andrew Siciliano on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. DirecTV's Red Zone, of course, on Sundays and the NFL Total Access at 4. Let me ask you about two more games real quick, Andrew, and that is, first of all, what's going on with the Saints? Is this a hang? Obviously, they got some different personnel in there at the top, but is this a kind of a hangover of Bounty Gate where they're gun shy to play as hard as they famously have been playing in recent seasons, and that's why they're 0-3?
No, because it would be more than the defense. Now, coming in, they've given up the most points in the league, tied to the Chiefs, coincidentally, actually. Those two teams are the worst scoring defenses in the NFL. But it's more than that. I mean, Drew Brees is ranked number 25 when it comes to quarterbacks right now, right next to Mark Sanchez.
Wow.
That's not a shot at Sanchez. He's ranked 25. Last year, he rewrote the professional football record book, or the NFL record book, not the CFL record book, when it comes to throwing the football. He broke all Dan Marino's records.
Wow.
So, there's something there as well.
Something's wrong.
Sean Payton's the play caller, right? So Sean Payton, the head coach who's suspended, pushes all the right buttons offensively. Defensively, there's a new coordinator. There's Steve Spagnuolo. They're not as good. Listen, they were up, 24-8, whatever. I mean, they were up big yesterday. They should have hung on and won that football game. And at 0-3 is a death knell.
Yeah.
You do not rebound from 0-3. You can rebound and make the playoffs.
Out of what, 16 games, 15 games?
0-3 out of 16. Correct. So, and the Falcons are 3-0. So you're in a division where you have, one of the undefeated teams who you still have to play twice. It's bad. It's a long season
for them ahead. All right, last question. Tonight, do I have any reason to be optimistic as well as the Seahawks played against Dallas?
Nope.
Do they have a chance against the Green Bay Packers tonight?
Remind me where the game is?
Nope.
It's in Seattle.
Oh.
Then you're fine.
Ooh, temporary refs.
I mean, when I say fine, I don't mean.
You mean they'll lose by 28.
I don't mean that.
Instead of 42.
Hey, as you know, There is something about that building.
Yeah.
When Steve Sable passed this week and everyone put together, we at NFL Network put together the montage of some of the great Steve Sable or great NFL films moments from the last 4 or 5 decades. You look up, the Marshawn Lynch play was stuck there in the middle, and it just reminded me. Marshawn Lynch playoff game a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. when he had a long touchdown run, it registered on the seismograph.
Yes, the 12th right? man
That's
brings it in Seattle. That's
got.
Right.
It caused a seismic ripple.
Imagine if they had a team.
How dare you?
How dare you?
All right, that's the Monday night game. Packers versus Seahawks on ESPN tonight. Andrew, we always appreciate your time, especially on Monday, because we're amazed you can even talk after what you do on the Red Zone and DirecTV. But we'll see you again on this afternoon on the TV, NFL Total Access at 4 on the NFL Network. Thank you, sir.
You guys are the best.
Bye now. Here's my whole thing. A Kanye West sex tape is going to be all about Kanye, just like the Ray J sex tape was all about, hey, look at me, and you barely got a glimpse of Kim Kardashian, right?
Right, but the chick will probably be pretty hot.
She'll probably be hot, but how much of her will we see? I just suspect we're going to see a lot of Kanye mugging and talk about how he's the best. I don't know. Let's find out what's going on with that. Not one, but two Kanye West sex tapes every Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We check in with our friends in the TMZ newsroom. Dax Holt joins us on the phone. Hey, Dax.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You generally have people on staff who vet this material before you print it when it comes to sex tapes. Are you the lucky guy who got to see part of these Kanye tapes?
I have seen clips.
You have seen clips. Okay. Tell us.
Do we see the girl at all?
It's not a shot of Kanye's face the whole time, I promise.
All right.
Him looking in a mirror at himself. It's a very long video, actually. There's two sex tapes now that are being shopped around. One is a 20-minute sex tape. And one is a 40-minute sex tape.
Wow.
Damn. And I can tell you...
Puts my 1-minute sex tape to shame.
Kanye's impressive.
And I can tell you it's pretty much nonstop.
Really?
Yes.
Now, what's the deal? Where did the tape come from? It's not from either of the people in the video, right?
That's what he's saying. He goes, I don't know how someone lifted these tapes off of my computer, but he said, you know, it doesn't sound like he's embarrassed of him at all.
He's
like, look, I've got.
If I had a 40-minute sex tape, I wouldn't be embarrassed either, Dax.
But wait, that brings me to point number two, which is he is a huge look at me guy. What are the chances he just sent it out?
No, I don't, the thing is, now that he's with Kim, I don't think he'd be sending that out because he wants to keep this relationship with Kim.
He's still Kanye.
He's still Kanye, of course, but if these get published or someone tries to release them, then he'll take legal action. So he's not going to let them actually get out into the public, but he's not going to say they don't exist.
So how does this work with the people that are assuming somebody's out there shopping it around and they go to Vivid and they go to all these companies? I mean, legally, can anyone put this out if Kanye West is saying, look, this is stolen material and I don't authorize it? It seems like your hands are tied on being able to... publish
it. You can't do that. This person's not going to make any money. You're not going to be able to sell it. Obviously, you know, you got to have Kanye's sign off on that. It's just not going to happen.
Dax, you have a file, though, right? I mean, you have a file cabinet someplace there at TMZ where you've got, like, copies of all these, right?
No comment.
So if I were just to show up, I'm saying if I were just to show up for lunch or something.
Right. A friend of your show.
Right.
We can talk.
Okay.
Okay. That's good enough.
That's all I need.
It there. All right. Let's move on to Shaun White, who I thought had learned his lesson after being arrested in Nashville for being drunk and trashing that hotel room. But it sounds like the party did not stop there. What happened next?
No. Well, we found out why he was so crazy at that hotel room, trashing the whole thing. Because, you know, he was at the Black Keys wedding, and he was apparently the vodka man at the wedding. He was walking around with a handle of vodka throughout the whole wedding.
That's classy. I like that move where you have to have the whole bottle with yourself.
And so he was taking shots with anyone that was willing to take one. Someone that was there was saying that he took around 12 to 15 shots at the wedding. And so clearly they understood why he was so drunk out of his mind at that hotel before the arrest. Obviously, he was just having fun. It was a wedding. Yeah. I think the whole hotel thing took a little too far. But it sounds like he'd be a fun guy to party with.
How does Shaun White end up at Patrick Carney, the drummer for the Black Keys, wedding? How do they, I mean, are they, is it just our theory that all celebrities know each other?
Honestly, I think that's what it comes down to. You know, you get Shaun White, who is such a huge celebrity that he shows up to, you know, MTV Awards or the Grammys,
right.
Stuff that's out of his element, and you meet cool people like that.
And maybe he goes to their show or something like that.
And they invite you backstage. Next thing you know, you're hanging out at their house, and then you're at their wedding.
I heard one report, and I forgive me, I don't remember where I read it, that said that Will Forte from Saturday Night Live was the officiant of the Patrick Carney wedding. Do you know if that's true? Okay, have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but that'd be very random.
It does sound like a super random thing, doesn't it?
We have a breakfast with those guys coming up. We're going to have to get some of the details on
that. You got to get some more details, see what happens.
All right. Look, Sean, no one enjoys being an Olympian more than Sean White does, and I say good on him.
I say good on him, too. It seems like a lot of people look down their noses at him. For God's sakes, the guy's partying. He's young. He's successful. Why not?
And you hear the story, and it's not like it's a big shocker.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, he's had fun. He ran out of a hotel. He pulled the alarm. It's almost like, oh, okay, Sean White, he had a good time.
Who hasn't?
Exactly. Keep up with Kanye. Keep up with Sean White. All the latest on Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, and, of course, Billy Joe and Rehab. It's all at TMZ.com. Don't miss TMZ airing on Fox Monday through Friday at a bunch of times, and TMZ Live airs at 4. Thanks so much for the time, Dax. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock. We should get together on that, I think.
Sorry. My bad. I blame myself.
Friday, right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Former Kevin and Bean sports guy Jimmy Kimmel hosting the 64th annual Emmy Awards last night. I think he did a fine, fine job. We got some highlights of his monologue, some of his bits, and some of the other highlights of the show coming up for you after the top of the hour here on the world famous K-Rock. What did you think of Jimmy last night, Ralph? Your old friend James.
I thought his monologue, his starting kickoff monologue, was excellent. I thought the pre-show taped piece was hilarious.
That was funny.
Very funny.
I thought the show in general sort of petered out after that. It's not Jim's fault. I mean, his job after that point, I think, is just to keep the thing moving along, which is hard to do in a three-hour award
show. In memoriam thing for himself was funny.
Yeah, that was funny too.
That was funny.
No, there was a lot of clever moments.
Everything he did was good.
Yes, he worked his ass off to make that show as entertaining as possible. But it's really a difficult situation, I think, for any host to prop up one of those award shows.
Well, they give out 700 Emmys for miniseries.
It does have more awards than any other awards show. It's like 26 awards or something like that, and it's 3 freaking hours long and feels every minute of that, and that's all out of his control. If they've got a producer from Game Change up there, there's not much the host can do about that, right?
Look, I don't begrudge them that. It is their night, and we are just allowed to eavesdrop. I don't blame them for giving out the awards. People always complain about the Oscars, too. Oh, too many awards. No, the point of it is those people giving awards and excellence to their peers. That's the point of the show. You just get to watch, and if you want to, great. If you don't, then don't bother. But don't expect them to change their night for you. I'm just saying to expect a comedian to go in there and hit it out of the park is almost impossible. I don't think we've seen Ricky Gervais struggle. We've seen some great, great talented people struggle doing award shows. The only person I can ever think that ever knocked it out of the park is Crystal for the Oscars. The last time he didn't, but the shows before, he's one of those guys for some reason, maybe because he's old school showbiz, song and dance man or whatever, always makes a memorable impression.
Jimmy's old school showbiz,
song and dance man. Yeah. No, but I thought his stuff was great. I thought the show was fine. It was, I know what I'm getting when I sit down for an award show. So
And it's also, it's no fault of the host that it's a little bit predictable when oftentimes the same people win over and over again. Same show wins multiple times in a night. You get a little bit tired of hearing about it, but that, it is what it is. Anyway, highlights coming up from the show if you missed it. Got a recap for you straight ahead here on K-Rock. Now, Ralph's got a bunch of other showbiz news.
Jon Stewart called them effing predictable.
Is it true he won for the 10th year in a row?
10 times in a row, yeah.
Wow!
He is the Amazing Race of variety shows.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's take Amazing Race out of that category, too, now, shall we? Enough. They've got enough. They have enough.
Well, I don't think you can take them out because they have enough.
Oh, I can't?
I don't think that's how it works.
Watch me.
Phil Kogut will be here on Friday. You can pitch that idea to him, Ralph.
I mean, Tom Bergeron thanked Jeff Probst for not being nominated this year, so that was helpful for him. Before I get to showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away. Oh, I cannot wait to see this movie. It is called Frankenweenie.
Yay!
And it's not about John Wayne Bobbitt. Stop it, you people who are suggesting that. It is, of course, from the mind of Tim Burton. This has been a labor of love for Tim Burton for a long, long, long time. In fact, it was Tim Burton's second attempt at a short film that was the original Frankenweenie.
Oh, really?
It was a short film that he made with Daniel Stern and Shelley Duvall, and it was about a boy who reanimates his beloved pet dog, a la Dr. Frankenstein.
And so he's had it in his back pocket for a long time, thinking about doing a feature-length version of this, and he's finally made it happen. It is a stop-motion animation, Frankenweenie. Fans of Tim Burton are absolutely going to want to see this. If you'd like to see an advanced screening of Frankenweenie, it's happening at the AMC Burbank on Thursday, October the 4th, and then the movies in theaters on October the 5th. But let's make it interesting, because I know we have hardcore Tim Burton fans out there. The original Frankenweenie, as I mentioned, was Tim's second short film that he made. He made it while he was still working at Disney. It's hard to believe. A lot of people don't know this, but he was a concept artist for Disney for many years before he reached out on his own. Before that, he was he attended what school?
You know, Nelly.
He's a Southern California boy. Grew up in Burbank, went to Burbank High, and then went to what school after high school? Call right now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067. First five people who get through with the correct answer to my trivia question get a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Frankenweenie.
Said.
I've also got tickets to give away to our event with a Green Day happening this afternoon here at the station. If you'd like to come out and see Billy Joe and the boys, they'll be rocking hard here.
It's more just the
We're
boys.
We're give them as much time as they want, by the way. We're not going to limit how much time Billy Joe gets on stage here.
That's not.
You got to be f***ing joking. It's a f***ing joke.
Yeah, he was on stage Friday at the iHeartRadio Festival in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they shorted him on his time, in his opinion at least. He saw the sign where it said 1 minute, kind of wrap it up, let's go. And he did not react well to that. It turns out in retrospect, they announced that Billy had been battling some issues with substance abuse. And so he apologized and took himself right to rehab today. So no events with Green Day for the foreseeable future. So
not
Remember
today.
A few weeks ago? Maybe a month. Billy Joe was mysteriously in the hospital for a couple of days, too.
Yes.
And they didn't say why.
What
if this was related to that? I sure hope he's okay.
I hope so as well. We did mention the Emmys. Here's a quick recap of who won what. For comedy series, it was Modern Family. Best drama series was Homeland, according to the Academy. Best comedy actor, John Cryer for 2 1/2 Men. That's right. You heard me. John Cryer for 2 1/2 Men. You got a problem with it? Take it up with him. Best actor in a drama, Damian Lewis. For Homeland.
He's with his fake British accent, by the way, trying to sound all better than everybody else.
No, the British accent is real.
Come on, man.
He's the American accent.
He's a U.S. military guy, you know, who's terrorist. We know he's not British.
I fell in love with him in Life. Remember that series, Life, that never really took off? But he and Sarah Shahi, of course, in that show. Best drama actress, Claire Danes, also for Homeland. Best comic actress, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, for her role in Veep. I didn't care for the hilarious Amy Poehler Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
The swap speeches? You didn't like that?
Speech swap comedy chunk.
Relatively funny.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. The last thing we need is to expand the speech-giving part of the show.
True.
Move those along.
But it's better than boring people who stand up there and read a freaking list of names.
Are those our only choices?
At least they're trying.
How about a brief thank you and then get off the stage? Is that an option?
Not many people choose that option.
No. They should choose that option, is what I'm saying. Best supporting comic actor, Eric Stonestreet, for Cameron in Modern Family. Also, Julie Bowen for Modern Family won for Best Supporting Comedy Actress. Best Supporting Drama Actress, Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey. And Best Supporting Drama Actor, Aaron Paul for his work in Breaking Bad. All those awards, I think, well-deserved for the most part. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, End of Watch and House at the End of the Street. Both did $13 million this weekend. That made it a tie for number one. As a result, the producers of both movies had announced the sequel, House at the End of Watch at the End of the Street. They're going to just put the two movies together and try to make $26 million. Trouble with the Curves, third. New Clint Eastwood movie made $12.7 million. Finding Nemo 3D was fourth. Resident Evil Retribution was fifth. Dread, The Master, The Possession, Lawless, and Paranorman. The rest of your top 10 at the box office this weekend. We haven't answered my trivia question.
We do.
I think the first person through was Dean. I think he got the answer right first. Dean?
Yes.
You a big Tim Burton fan?
I am.
Where did he go to school after he graduated from high school?
CalArts.
CalArts, then Santa Clarita. That's right. A lot of people don't know this, but CalArts was started by Walt Disney himself.
Is that right?
To have sort of a training facility to bring new people into Walt Disney to make animation and stuff
Bean,
like
you see
that.
How that works? Where you throw in extra information that's tied into the conversation.
How
dare you?
More than I needed to know.
Thank you, Dean. I'm with you.
Sadly, we just ran out of tickets, Dean. I'm sorry. We don't have any more to give you.
You said it was the first one, though.
No, but I meant last one.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes I get first and last confused. I'm dyslexic.
Okay.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, smartass.
I don't know what Bean tweeted this weekend, but I got a whole...
There was a crap load of people that were...
storm of people contacting me saying, oh, put this in the file, it's Tweet Bean, and thanks for that info, Bean, thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How dare you.
Of course, I've got Bean blocked, so I can't possibly read it. But for whatever it was, something stirred up the masses this weekend.
Probably something good. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sure,
yeah.
That's always the case.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 24 years old today. Actress and writer Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 50. She never got fat again, by the way.
Huh.
One of those people lost a ton of weight and then never got fat again.
Is that disappointing?
I'm disappointing. Kevin Sorbo from Hercules is 54, and Gordon Clapp from Damages and, of course, many seasons on NYPD Blue, 64 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We were talking with Ralph in the Showbiz Beat moments ago about Jimmy Kimmel, his performance hosting the Emmys last night. Very funny. If you missed it, a couple of highlights.
The television as we know it was invented by a 14-year-old Idaho farm boy named Philo T. Farnsworth, who was plowing a wheat field, this is true, in rows of parallel lines. And it occurred to Philo that an image could also be sliced into rows of parallel lines. And he patented that invention. And now, thanks to Philo T. Farnsworth, we have Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. So... nice job, dumbass. Television is an American institution, and yet one out of every five acting nominees tonight is British, which I don't understand. I guess we're supposed to reward them because their actors went to the Royal Shakespeare Academy and ours were discovered at the mall.
I thought Jimmy went over well in-house, too. I thought he played well on television. It seemed like there was a lot of laughing going on in the crowd, which you don't always see. Sometimes it just seems like the people are sitting there and they're going, oh, this is painful. As we talked about, Modern Family had a huge night, winning a bunch of big awards for acting, also for Best Comedy Series. They also won for Best Director. Here's Steve Levitan, who I thought gave a very funny speech talking about directing that show.
First of all, I want to thank me for hiring me as a director when no one else would. I wouldn't be standing here without my faith in me.
A lot of people think that he's one of the few who would say it. By the way, Jon Stewart, really 10 years in a row he's won in that category for The Daily Show?
That's such a good show. It's hard to deny.
But Stephen Colbert, does he not also deserve an Emmy, right?
I agree.
He is funny every time you see him on TV, whether it's his own show or in the case of last night as he was presenting an Emmy for for one of the categories for Best Actress.
We should not have a war on women. We should be celebrating women. Women are wonderful. Give it up. For the most part, obviously. Some women are awful. You got really good ones like Mother Teresa. You got murderers and stuff. Wouldn't be fair to lump them all together. But the thing is... vast majority of women are lovely people. For instance, the seven women nominated in this category tonight, five of them are just great. Really just capital. And the other two...
Well, the other two, what are you going to do? By the way, very funny bit, tough to translate to radio, but when Jon Stewart won his award, he was tackled from behind by Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, both of whom he had beaten in their category. And he had to break himself free and crawl on his hands and knees up the red carpet to get to the stage. It was very, very funny. Ralph mentioned Tom Bergeron, who won for hosting Dancing with the Stars. First time he's won, and he had some comments about his competition in that category for Best Reality Show Host.
This is particularly satisfying since Betty White always kicks my ass in our mixed martial arts class.
See what he did? Because Betty White is
She's
old.
She's
emasculating. That's all I'm going to say to you. I want to thank Jeff Probst for not being nominated. That helped. want to thank... my family, most of whom know who they are.
See,
and
that's the way you ought to handle instead of the boring name of Liz. My family, most of whom know who they are. Boom. And you move on because we don't care about your stupid kids, people who win Emmys. We mentioned the In Memoriam segment that Jimmy did, which is the first time I've ever seen this done on any awards show, where he, rather than wait until he's gone for people to say nice things about him, he thought, hey, let's go ahead and do the tribute while I'm still alive.
The Emmys are a time to celebrate, and they're also a time to honor some of the greats who are no longer with us. But I think it's a shame that we wait to do this until after our legends have passed. It's important to celebrate the living, too. So tonight, I'd like you to join me in paying tribute to the life and work of someone all of us, someone every person in this room admires, respects, and loves.
So his name comes up on the screen, pictures, clips from his show, Josh Groban at the piano. Start singing a song for Jimmy Kimmel.
Baby, you lit up our world like nobody else. The way that you flipped your hair got us overwhelmed. But when you smiled at the crowd, it wasn't hard to tell. You didn't know, you didn't know you were beautiful.
Roman is hilarious every time he's on TV.
He's got a great sense of humor, for those of you that don't know. He does music that you probably don't listen to, but he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, and a great
very
voice.
Funny. Yeah. And one more. We haven't had a chance to talk about this today, but this was one of the most inexplicable moments of the Emmys last night. First of all, Kevin Costner is still alive and working.
What
first of all.
Was that about?
Second of all, he won for this Hatfields and McCoys, which was, I don't remember the numbers right now, but it was a sensation. I mean, it had ridiculous numbers. It's going to end up being one of the most watched shows of 2012. So he was picking up his award, and for some reason the speech was going fine. It was just your regular, every ordinary speech. For some reason he stops and he looks down at the Emmy statue and says this.
I just have to say that just looking at this thing, it reminds me a little bit of the Olympics, you know, the Olympic sports in London. But it doesn't seem like much of a sport, you know, this trophy here.
What? Not a, there was no point to that.
No. Huh. And people are just sitting up going, is he still crazy? What's going
there's
on
just
here?
No point to that. Unless he was trying somehow to say that, you know, artists are not competitive. I don't know.
I have no idea what he was trying to do. It was definitely the WTF moment of the night. But there's just some recaps of the Emmys. And again, congratulations to our friend Jimmy Kimmel for a job well done hosting the show. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
People did not go to the movies very much this weekend as we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Another lackluster weekend at the box office. The top two films were tied with $13 million each. End of Watch in its debut and House at the End of the Street in its debut. Tied for first place, followed by Trouble with the Curve, the new Clint Eastwood movie. Made about $12.7 million. Good enough to put it in second place. Finding Nemo in the 3D version was fourth, and Resident Evil Retribution rounded out the top five. Dread, The Master, The Possession, Lawless, and Paranorman were the other five films in the top 10 this weekend. Last night, the Emmys were given out. Here are your big winners. Comedy series, Modern Family, drama series went to Homeland on Showtime. And as I found out last night, it's the first time first time Showtime's ever had a best series.
Which is odd considering Dexter.
Yeah.
But wow. Which both come back Sunday.
And Nurse Jackie, another great show over there. Weeds.
Yeah.
Good stuff happening over there on Showtime. Best actor and actress in a comedy went to John Cryer and Julia Louis-Dreyfus for their work in Two and a Half Men and Veep, respectively. Claire Danes and Damian Lewis both won for the drama category. From
poor
Homeland.
John Hamm.
Yeah, John Hamm. They got one more year to get it right. So
how many times is he nominated?
As long
every
as the
year.
Show's been on.
Five
been
years,
nominated
I guess.
For Best Actor in a Drama.
Hurts. By the way, someone reminded me that Steve Carell never won a Comedy Emmy for all of those years he was on The Office either. He was nominated
no
all the
kidding.
Time and never won. It just sometimes it just works out that way.
I feel bad for Stephen Colbert, who just can't win up against his good buddy Jon Stewart. And you can see why. Daily Show's a brilliant television
show. It is brilliant.
Show, but Colbert is right there with
him. I agree.
By the way, Hugh Laurie, while we're talking about people who never won an Emmy, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Talk about that role, which, you know, is one of the greatest of all time in TV.
Next year he'll win.
When I don't think. The show's gone.
What?
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor and Actress in a Comedy, Modern Family swept that category. Eric Stone Street and Julie Bowen. Best Supporting Actress and Actor in a Drama, Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey and Aaron Paul's work. On Breaking Bad. He seemed genuinely touched when he
sure
accepted
did.
That award.
Totally.
Very cool.
Coolest guy in the world.
Eric Stone Street did, too. I mean, here's another guy. Was a working actor, but certainly not a household name. Was struggling, and he talked about the fact that he went to all those auditions, and finally he got the role that put him on the map, and he had a nice shout-out for actors out there who are still nursing those dreams.
I see him all the time at Kings games, especially this last year when they ran up to the Cup, and my daughter said, "Hey, that's my homie!"
I was like, really? Cam?
Yes.
Cam is her homie?
Really? Wow. He's her homie? That's odd.
She hangs with large gay men. I guess that's her posse. The Hatfields and McCoys. How about them, huh?
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Kevin Costner's
lead
a red actor
flag for me.
In a miniseries or movie. Did he just seem like just a pompous douchebag who just thought he was slumming because he was there with TV people?
I don't know. I thought he was just out of it.
No, he just seemed like he was just better than everybody else. He just seems like a dick.
Which is funny because, you know, someone like Julianne Moore, who's also an Academy Award winner, seemed like she couldn't be more delighted
to be
there.
She was very gracious.
And win.
Yeah. He's a douche.
Costner was like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to bother putting on a tie for this thing. Hey, this reminds me of the Olympics.
Look at this statue.
That's a sport, huh?
All right.
All right. Everybody, you have a good night. I'll see you at the after party.
And he winked at somebody who was coming off stage.
Did he do that?
And Game Change was the big winner for a miniseries or movie as well over there on HBO. Julianne Moore, won for her work as Sarah Palin. And the Game Change won itself for best TV movie. Good show last night overall, I thought. It's long, but they all are, those award shows. Nothing you can do.
That's why you tape them.
Kris Jenner, the momager of the Kardashians in the news, apparently she contacted a Southern California Apple store this weekend, telling them just to set aside 5 of those new iPhone 5s for her clan. Just put those. You just put those behind the counter. We'll cruise by and pick those up from.
Well, she's earned that right though, because she's on that Keeping Up with the Kardashians show.
Yeah, employee she talked to at the store said that's not how we do things here, ma'am. You got to come down and get in line with everybody else. People are out there waiting for a long time for this phone.
Love it.
She said, yeah, let me talk to your manager, please. Manager got on the phone. He said, yeah, that's not how we do things around here, ma'am. You have to come down and get your phone just like
USA! 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 USA!
So she sent her assistant down to get in the face of the manager and say, we need 5 of those for the Kardashians, please. And the manager had security escort her to the back of the line.
USA! USA! USA!
Shame on Monica Lewinsky and shame on the publishing house that's paying her $12 million for her memoir.
Are you kidding? I would do that for... I would do anything for $12 million, especially if she doesn't have money.
She's writing a book about her affair with President Bill Clinton. New York Post says she's promising to reveal all the nasty ways he used to refer to his wife, Hillary.
Oh, boy.
As well as Bill's fondness for kinky sex in the book. 50 Shades of Bill, I guess, is what we're going to get. So, for those of you still interested in that story, the book will be coming out.
I wonder what she has left to say. I mean, remember, she already collaborated with another writer to write one book on this subject.
Yeah.
My Story of Monica's Life or whatever it was called.
Yeah, but this is going to be the more salacious, more trashy version. So
I heard she saved love letters.
She's whoring herself again. Good for you, Monica. Sell what you got, sweetheart. Yeah. Good news for Lisa. Broadway stuff's happening.
Yay!
They are putting another version of Elf. Musical adaptation is going to be on Broadway for Christmas.
I bet that would be great.
They did a short run of it. They did a test run of it back in 2010 and apparently did pretty well, enough to bring it back for at least the holiday season. Seinfeld star Wayne Knight Newman will be playing Santa in the musical version. George Wendt played Santa in the 2010 version. No word on who's going to play Buddy, the Will Ferrell character, in the Broadway show yet, but Wayne Knight's working again. And Dina Loewen. She would like a second shot at an interview with Dr. Phil.
Oh, that was awesome.
She talked to Dr. Phil on his daytime talk show last week, and she doesn't think she made a very good impression.
What?
Yes.
I thought it was fantastic.
She said she was taken off guard by his questions.
What?
What did she think he was going to ask about? He asked about her relationship, her rocky relationship with her now-separated husband, Michael. Lindsay's famous problems with substance abuse and the law. I mean, what did he think? He was going to ask for fashion tips?
You have made bad choices.
Here's one awesome clip from the interview with Dina Loewen and Dr. Phil, and you guys listen to this and see if she has a point that she didn't come off very well.
You're like in your little tie, your little shoes, like, you know.
I'm in my little tie and my little shoes? What the hell does that mean?
Do the math. He can... It's on video.
Well,
yeah, do the math.
Yeah.
Come on. Shoes plus ties equals cardigan. Come on. Do the math. Dr. Phil.
That was a weird, weird interview.
You are looking at an idiot.
If he brings her back, he's the idiot.
No, are you kidding? I'd bring her back in a second because she was just
a mess.
You'd
make her the co-host.
Yeah, so I would.
Stephen Colbert, we were just talking about him. He is going to appear as a guest star on The Office. Entertainment Weekly has broken this news. I don't know if you watch the show anymore, but now that Andy has taken over as the boss of the company, he still talks about his days
back in college, and his best friend, Broccoli Rob. Remember Broccoli Rob he often refers to?
No, but okay, go ahead.
Stephen Colbert will be playing Fantastic. The often mentioned but never seen Broccoli Rob on an upcoming episode on the October 25th, you can see.
Are you still watching, Ralph?
I have not seen the show in a while.
I heard that their season premiere last week was the lowest rated Office episode ever.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like The Office anymore.
They're advertising it as the farewell season,
It is,
too.
Yeah, it's the final season for Office, but I don't know who's still excited about that show. And the Beatles have found more ways to get your money. I thought that, you know, look, I'm a Beatles fan. Kevin doesn't like him. I like him. I think Bean's a fan.
Absolutely.
But there comes a point of saturation, I think, where you can't not put out any more Beatles merchandise to try to steal our money. And I think they have reached that point.
Well, it is optional. You don't have to buy anything you don't want
to. But come on. How many remastered sets have they released of the Beatles now? They've done it all in stereo. They've done it all on mono. They've got all the CDs. They got the British version of the CDs, and then they've got the American release versions of the CDs.
You do know that they still have several albums that have not come out on CD yet. You know that, right?
Didn't they release everything on in both the British and American version in the box set?
Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl, for instance, they still
but the original of the original albums that they recorded.
Right. Yeah, those are all.
Those have been released.
But there's still something in there. There's still something in the
sign language.
Well, how about then the 16 vinyl LP box set?
Nope.
That they're releasing of all the original albums. Everything on vinyl now is going to be put into a box set. It'll only set you back about $400.
No way. No way. Get real.
For Beatles completists to get everything that they release.
I don't need that.
No one needs that.
No!
Mitt Romney says no.
Today's Mitt Romney says no.
No! celebrity birthdays today. Gordon Clapp.
It's Clapp. It's his name.
From NYPD Blue and Damages, 64 years old today. I think Gordon was the only remaining cast member on that show, along with Dennis Franz, for the entire run of NYPD Blue.
Oh, is that right? Everybody else came and went.
Yeah. Kevin Sorbo. Hercules from television, 54 years old. Actress and writer Nia Vardalos. From My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 50 years old today. And Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you heard the story Ralph was talking about earlier today, but Kanye West has not one but two sex tapes that somebody has supposedly stolen. So tomorrow we're going to take calls from people who have had their sex tape found.
Okay.
Sometimes it could be an ex, could be a parent, God forbid, co-worker. So
I'd love to get a copy of that.
That's tomorrow morning. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have our Breakfast with the Black Keys tickets.
Bean just had a stroke.
I know. I'd like to hear Adam Carolla again one more time, please. Adam Carolla, please.
Can we hear Adam Carolla?
Breakfast with Black Keys. We made that announcement earlier this morning. We have more tickets for you tomorrow. And a little band by the name of The Killers coming in studio.
Awesome.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.